Today's episode of the Super Best Friend Cast is brought to you by Loot Crate, the monthly subscription box that gets you a box of all kinds of good merch to your door every single month. This month's theme is Invasion, with exclusive items from X-Files, Alien, The Fifth Element, Space Invaders, and more sci-fi goodness. So you have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and get this month's crate. After that, it's over. Head on down to lootcrate.com/super, enter the promo code super, and save $3 on your new subscription today. We're going to be streaming.
What?
We're going to be streaming.
When?
On the 31st.
Shortly.
We just recorded that, like, trailer ad, and I don't know why, but I thought that, like,
You thought we were going live?
We're going to put that up in 4 days or something and be, boom, secret.
No, that's going up now.
Now.
Oh.
It's already online. We got comments. Why are you guys doing this? Oh.
We want the cast audience.
January 31st, we're doing a stream.
We want the cast audience to mingle with the stream audience.
Yeah. Be sure to check out...
Don't mix the streams.
Be sure to check out our
awesome
our Amazon wish list to
Ghostbusters.
You know,
send us sparkly dildos.
Yeah, yeah. Be sure to check in on the on that.
The sparkliest.
We've put together all the things we want to exploit our viewers for.
We just did that like 45 seconds ago. But the wish list button hasn't been added yet.
I'm gonna add it as soon as we're done. Is it really even gonna be a button?
It's gonna be a button.
Everyone, please enjoy competing on our stream leaderboards to see who can donate the most money to us.
Man. There's only so far you can start talking about a joke where I'm like in on the joke, but then I get disgusted. Thinking of how that's still a real
number,
thing.
Number one for 15 weeks in a row. Sad whale. Oh no. Oh.
Like I said it to Plague, and I said it to you guys. It's the lube between a bored Dubai prince
and a yacht.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'd love to be a Dubai prince.
Hey, we're streaming from a yacht that's parked in someone's driveway because
if you want
water.
The high quality stream, it'll be $8.95.
Oh, wow.
They owned that in the end, though.
They owned
that. In the
end,
Canada
yeah.
Cup owned that, man.
And now it's the standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There
they did
go.
It.
Amazing.
So what we're saying is that you won't have to worry about that because it'll be a low-quality stream for everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone's treated equally like trash.
Streaming direct to your Nokia flip phone.
Yeah. Yeah, flip phone.
Don't even try watching it anywhere else.
No, shout outs to all my flip phone warriors. You're still doing it.
Razor!
I used to have a really nice flip phone and I miss it.
I miss it too.
Get ready for hours of B-roll of us checking our phones because we're bored with what we're doing.
Yeah.
Okay, do you remember, I don't know if any of you guys remember the phone I had before this one? The green, glowing, pulsating
thing? I don't remember that, actually.
It was so fancy.
Because you've had your iPhone Mark Zero for like 18 years now, so I don't remember what you had before that.
iPhone Beta.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a Motorola
flip. Still takes calls, baby.
I had a Razor at one point. That phone was sick.
I think it was like an LG Shine or something like that. It was all chrome, and it was a flip phone. I love that phone.
No, the one I got was one that was like only available in China and Japan.
There's a lot of really nice flip phones.
Yeah.
In Japan, and I assume in China and Korea, you can get flip phones with touchscreens that are like Android phones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's next level.
I remember before I had a cell phone... I only got one really late in the game.
You had a rotary phone
right?
before
and
that.
I remember I wanted my purchasing criteria to be, will it run Final Fantasy VII before Crisis?
Of course. And
that's the only thing that matters.
The only
that's
metric.
A legitimate concern. Because you don't want to buy a second cell phone.
No!
Right?
Man, that's a bummer.
That's the only thing I cared about at the time.
That's cool.
If you make enough noise about it, maybe they'll add it to the new FF7.
God, remember that wallpaper?
No.
There's a really cool...
Yeah, for your phones.
All the Turks.
Wallpaper. All the Turks.
All the Turks
alive.
Together. It was amazing.
Alive at last.
I want flip phones to come back.
Me too.
Welcome, welcome to episode 128 of the
Let me in on the esoteric. Liam.
Well, here's the interesting thing.
Esoteric?
128 is actually a number that there's a lot of things that you can attribute 128
is tough because there's a million.
Instantly like a flush of emotions come in 120. I'm like, I know there's a million things.
Yeah,
Mario, man.
There's 128 Marios that we'll never see because Shiggy took them away from us. There's 128 characters.
No, you're not good enough. You don't know what you want.
In the ASCII, ASCII language.
Right.
Alphabet or whatever you want to call that. Characters.
Yeah.
The PlayStation 2 generation is 128-bit.
I thought the Dreamcast was.
Whatever.
Dreamcast.
The 128 was the bus I used to take heading up to school back in the day.
That's fucked up. The 128? I've never heard of that bus.
It'll take you places.
Yeah, I've also never heard of the 128.
Yeah, that's way up, on the at the top of the orange line.
Oh.
You know what bus I hated? The 105 that would bring us to your old place.
Oh, yeah, that was
the 105 will bring
south.
You anywhere, though.
But that bus was exclusively for babies and their mothers.
I think everyone hates the 105.
I take the 105 all the time, though.
No, the 105, the 105 was equipped with, weapons on the side, because it had to go through the fucking shit parts of town.
Yeah.
They knew that. That bus didn't slow down.
It was like a Mad Max bus.
The door just opened, and you had to run to get on it, because they don't have time.
I live in a nice part of town.
No, your apartment's nice.
But, fuck you.
So there's a lot of 128s out there, but there's only one important 128, and that 128 I'll bring up for you guys here
is
the 128 Nemesis, an asteroid that's fucking awesome.
Is it going to hit the planet Earth?
It's huge, and it's out there.
It was discovered by one James Craig Watson. Jeez.
Damn.
It's a little on the nose.
Is that bigger than Earth?
It was discovered in 1872, and it's called the Nemesis asteroid.
That's pretty cool.
I'm still not clear. Is it going to hit Earth or
that
not?
Ben Affleck
it's not
going to
hit Earth.
Oh, thank God.
I hope it's the one Ben Affleck blew up. We're safe.
It's fucking sick. Its epoch was on December 31st, 2006.
That's crazy.
Speaking of that, just...
The epoch of the Nemesis asteroid.
The final god.
Amazing.
Did you see that
incredible thing
about
you,
what Michael Bay said to Ben Affleck when Ben Affleck said, why would they train oil drillers to be astronauts? Wouldn't it be much easier to train astronauts to drill? In Armageddon?
It's a very reasonable complaint.
Of course.
Do you know what Michael Bay said?
No.
Shut up.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Amazing. What a hero.
Because you can't have the blue-collared men going out in space to sacrifice themselves unless you actually make them blue-collared men.
Of course. Yeah.
Who cares?
It doesn't work if they're cool
spacemen. I don't know. I think astronauts are de facto heroes, so I wouldn't have a problem with it.
But... The relatable American is what Michael Bay wants to get to.
Of course.
I don't know. I think Chris Hadfield's... Oh, well, he's not a relatable American at all. He's a relatable
I can't relate
Canadian.
To people named Buzz.
What? He's cool.
No,
I can't relate to him.
They need Michael Clark Duncan singing a cappella so that you know he's a down-to-earth...
Is that the only thing you relate to?
Spoiler.
Is it the only thing you relate to?
Michael Clark Duncan
singing...
I relate
singing, acapella.
Acapella.
I relate to
singing acapella is a really white thing these days.
It is a really white thing. It's been taken.
Because he's like, I don't want to do it.
We're off of that. Acapella has been usurped.
Yeah.
Black right,
people did
it
better.
You know, once upon a time, it used to be like a boys to men kind of like soul groovy thing.
They did it better.
And then I guess college campuses...
Stolen.
Made that happen?
Like
I don't
big
know.
Thing
I think
is,
I think
I don't
people,
know when the transition. Happened.
I think people always kind of looked at barbershop quartets and went,
barbershop,
"That's kind of cool."
Yeah. No, what happened is that white people discovered that they could all hum Super Mario at the same time.
I blame the B sharps.
Yes,
the B sharps.
Well, one of those guys is Indian.
Fuck, you're right,
and they're all kind of yellow.
But we
they
should
still
call
took
him,
it.
I blame.
We should call him Napu de Belmonche. Well, that's a huge dishonor to my family and my gods, but okay.
I also blame the ability to record yourself doing all the parts on YouTube and
doing
it
yourself.
Out.
Yeah, a cappella, your own person.
Smooth I like that. The groove. I'm looking at you.
I like that way better. I like
better. Smooth the groove is the best. He's the best.
He's great.
Like doing it all yourself seems much more impressive than a group of people doing it. because you have to edit it together.
Well, the difference is editing it together gives you chances.
Yeah.
Doing it all at the same time requires everyone to coordinate.
Well, no. Smooth McGroove does it all one shot, right at the same time in a
you
row,
know what's
right?
really amazing?
He has 18 voices inside of his throat.
Do you know why he's a consummate professional? Because when me and Wooly went to PAX East, Wooly was drinking, I was drinking, John Chun was drinking, Stamper, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Smooth McGroove, nah, no thanks. You, sir, care about your voice.
Well, he's gotta keep his voice smooth.
Smooth.
Silky.
And mm-hmm. McGroove.
Because one shot of Jack and it all goes downhill.
Every time I go to a convention, I see that, what's his name? Alpha Omega Sin guy.
Yeah.
And you always mistake him for Smooth McGroove.
Is that Smooth McGroove? No, that's Alpha Omega. Every time, though, I have to ask myself.
Smooth McGroove always wears a hat. Alpha Omega Sin does not.
Oh, yeah, does he always wear a hat?
He almost always wears a hat.
Oh, okay.
Like, I imagine anytime...
Good info.
To protect the voice.
Anytime Smooth McGroove is standing in a room and he coughs, everyone looks around worried.
Oh, no.
Are you going to bust out Tetris theme?
Is money being lost?
Is he okay? Oh, God. Get the Vicks Vapor Rub. All right,
eat
Matt,
it.
Why don't you...
Swallow the Vicks Vapor Rub.
We've covered that already, I believe.
Yeah, I think there's a
you're
podcast
not, you're
name
supposed to cover
rub
it. You're not
title.
Supposed to eat it.
Hey, there goes Flux. Matt, why don't you take us through your last 7 days?
Speaking of Tetris that I just mentioned at the end, Tetris theme, I've been playing a lot of Rise of the Tomb Raider, and it happens in Siberia, and you find an ancient relic, and she goes, these shapes look familiar, bunch of Tetris blocks.
Are they Tetraminos? Yeah.
Because if you remember, Tetris is based off a weird Russian game.
Tetraminos.
Yeah,
exactly like that. So I'm like, that's cute. So I've been playing a lot of Rise of the Tomb Raider. I just was like, hey, yeah, we...
I mean, if you got a line around,
played
yeah.
an hour of it, mm-hmm. and let me play more. And I'm about 30...
I hear it's a good game.
Better than the first one so far?
I'm actually really, really enjoying it a bit, like a lot better than the starting point of the last Tomb Raider.
Did you finish the first one?
Yes, I did.
Okay, yeah.
Because Lara's not freaking out every single Because
she's
second.
No longer, like, horribly kidnapped and stuff, yeah.
She's not horribly kidnapped or anything, and yeah. I was telling you, Liam, that...
she's in her own danger.
Early...
And now she's got bottles and punch lasers.
Yeah.
Early on in the game, there was like a twist that I did not see coming that I really was like, that's a really good story beat.
This
I enjoy
changes
that.
Everything.
And the one thing I remember of the last Tomb Raider is like, man, I didn't really think the story was very good. It was very predictable.
It only does neat things in the like the last act.
And even then, I saw that shit really coming and stuff. And plus, I always lament that game that it was not the survival horror game it was originally kind of concepted as or whatever.
Sure, yeah.
But I'm playing Rise of Tomb Raider, and Liam was correcting me on this, or we're not sure that the optional tomb raiding that you do,
yeah,
they're amazing. They're so much fun that. When you go into an area, one of the first optional tomb you get is an upside down Viking ship that's frozen in a waterfall.
That and sounds vertically, fucking rad.
Sounds super
you
cool.
Vertically have to go up it, and every time you defeat one of these, defeat these tombs, you get a skill that's super amazing.
Super useful, yeah.
Yeah, and then as you go on,
how did that happen? How did the boat get stuck that way?
You find little bits of trivia, like you know, you find a relic, and she's like, and it's like a diary of whoever lived it at the time. Mm. And it's voice acted.
It all comes back to Ice Nine, Wooly.
And as you go on, I've done four optional things, and they've all been the exact opposite of each other. One was just one giant puzzle. One was all platforming.
Right.
One was all like, you know...
there are tombs and they are fun.
They're really, really good. And you were saying that, like, we're not confirming,
I don't know 100%, but
makes sense,
I remember when we were working there, it seemed like Eidos Montreal was handling all the tombs in this one.
Whereas, tombs were some of the best parts of the game.
Yeah, whereas previously they did the multiplayer in the first one, of course.
Because
that multiplayer.
They did it.
Yes. You know,
they did it.
It was there.
It got shipped.
It happened.
But that kind of makes me think that some other developer must have done them because they're too high quality. You know what I mean?
Like Crystal had the full focus on the single player campaign, and that would have let them have a full focus on the tombs if that's the way it is.
I'm really enjoying the game so far, and like all the little like. You know, it's largely the same thing. You're doing the same stuff with the pickaxe.
It is a sequel, so yeah.
It is a sequel, but then there's like the little side missions. You can find additional characters and do these side missions. Again, totally worth it. I just hope like the story, because I said there was like a early on twist I'm really enjoying, and I hope like the story does not peter out, doesn't become disinteresting.
It ends well.
And it ends with, there's a satisfying ending. I still think Rise of the Tomb Raider is one of the dumbest titles ever. It makes no sense.
Yeah. No, I'm telling you, it ends well.
Do characters...
Like, I found out what the ending is.
Oh, okay.
It ends quite well.
Okay, good.
Do characters other than Jonah carry over?
I want to know.
None so far.
Just Jonah?
And Jonah's dropped out of it completely from what I've played so far.
Get out of here, Jonah.
Do you dual wield regularly?
Not yet.
Okay.
I only have the bow, machine gun, you know, your machine guns... And a pistol lock.
You gotta
don't
go
have
do the
shotgun.
John Woo tomb, and then you'll be able to.
I kind of doubt it, though. But the thing is,
well,
like,
that's you know that was the fucking the lead up, right?
I remember an EGM article way back when where they asked a military dude.
It doesn't fucking work.
They showed him like video and footage of two characters, one being Lara Croft and one saying Solid Snake. And he looks at the picture of Solid Snake and the little text box says, look at this fucking guy. He's totally doing it. That's super accurate. Look at this stupid idiot shooting pistols akimbo. That shit don't work.
Well,
get killed in 1 second.
The main thing in all the earlier Tomb Raiders, they would do these pieces of promo art with her with the magnums, and she had her thumbs on the backs.
Yeah,
that would blow her thumbs off if she actually fired.
To be fair, British people don't know what holding a gun looks like.
Yeah, they don't
understand. And you know, Kojima was one of those like military like otaku type fanboys. So
Matsuo Sadamori would always be there to make sure.
The fact that he's putting fucking trigger discipline in his character. In his games is like, okay, of course military guys are going to be
games.
On board with that.
But I'm going to see if I can keep going and try to beat it. Right now I'm 30% done, like, everything. I was telling Liam, like, I wish there was, I know this is kind of weird, but I wish there was, like, story progression percentage and overall
percentage. You can know where you're at in the actual main campaign versus,
I totally agree
like,
because I want to know, like, because I've been doing a lot of optional stuff because it's also, it seems more... Not Metroidvania-ish, but there's more hopping around and now have a new power more so than the last game. The last game was a little bit more linear. Like, you could still go wherever you wanted within reason, but, I mean, there's a lot of that doing, and there's, like, a lot of collectibles. Probably too many that I'm, like...
The first game had a lot, too, yeah.
Yeah, and your percentage thing would never get close to finished, because you know...
Because of the collectibles,
it's just too many, you know?
The other thing, I think I told almost all of you individually that I sunk about 2 hours into Assassin's Creed India, and at least Wooly, Liam, and I have been like, "Oh, hope that's better."
And
it's better.
But
still, I don't know what it is.
It
will always feel like, man, these are low budget. Nothing
like super not amazing spin-offs.
Man, I don't care about these stories.
Look.
Man, I don't like.
The appetizer was disgusting,
though.
So I spit it out. All right? Here comes the antipasti, or whatever, right?
Antipasto.
Antipasto, sure. And, like, that needs to not only right the wrongs, but
go
above.
It has to cleanse the palate.
It has to cleanse the palate.
And then be good.
So that the main course, that is Russia, can deliver the story that needs to happen.
I played more of this of India than China. And India looks better, it feels more polished. The combat feels better. You can dodge bullets, which is cool. There's just a B button prompt to just dodge a bullet when it's coming. There's a lot of cool foreground, background stuff that's like
smoother. China had some good stuff for that too. Better than that though?
Better than that because you go way off into the left and the right.
Oh, cool.
You go on zip lines all the way down to a whole other like area. And I think India generally utilizes its concept a little bit better, like the colors and the kind of like art direction, tigers in cages, tigers always being like, if you get too close, they'll roar.
They're like
alert
dudes. Alarms,
and I'm like, tigers in cages and elephants, you're ducking underneath elephants.
Elephants
cover.
In cages. No.
They're not in cages.
No Ezio in name only.
Oh, fuck
not
that.
Not yet. They reference China. This happens hundreds
I
of
know.
Years after AC China.
We know.
This happened. They talk about China. They're like, oh no, did you know there was an assassin in China that kicked all of our asses one time hundreds of years ago? That was rough.
No, I don't, because no one played that game.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just, I was telling at least Liam, I think, that I'm like, I have to try my best to actually like these, because I just realized these are the Prince of Persia games I'm getting.
Yeah, of course.
Because it's actually
you know,
what
you
it
don't
is.
Have to
it's,
try it's a, to like them. You could just be unsatisfied.
It's a
no,
bummer.
But I'm no. I mean, give it the fairest shake. Make sure I didn't miss
but
something.
This year, but you're this is your Prince of Persia. That's your 100% right.
The platforming is just. It's about as exciting
it's
as AC platforming
yeah.
can be.
How
yeah.
do you
which
feel about how
lot.
Dead Prince of Persia is?
I don't think it is though.
I think it is.
I don't think it is. I think it'll pop back up, but it's just not, like, on the hot button.
If there's nothing at Ubisoft's press conference this year, I'm going to resign that it's dead. Because there hasn't been an
The spot for Prince of Persia is reserved for Beyond Good and Evil 2 this year.
Like it's not.
I think it's less dead than
that.
But
here's why. I don't know how to describe the emotion that just went through my body.
Like, it's when
disgust,
I say
disgust, anger.
Well, again,
I'm sorry, you don't like Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, right. When I say it's not on the hot button, I mean it's like something that's always like, hey, we should maybe try something with
that. It's sitting on the list with Silent Hunter. And maybe one day.
We should try that sometime, but it's not like forgotten and lost.
Prince of Persia exists in that same nether realm that Legacy of Kain does for Eidos, in which it's like, hey, we own this. Can we make an alternate costume for our bullshit indie game?
And then an unfortunate typo leads you to Kain and Lynch, but you know.
But I'm sure though that like...
That's how it happened. It was a typo.
Even if there's no major AAA game, you can still go to the Prince of Persia wiki page and you'll see like activity with the brand.
Yes. But,
you know
but
what
here's
I mean?
The thing.
Throw another shovel full of dirt on it.
But that's what... It's not like it's just... It's not on the hot
now
button.
Another one.
There hasn't been an Ubi Art engine game in like almost 2 years now announced, at least that I'm
didn't they use it for
I'm excited
what's the kids
wrong.
TV show there
oh Gravity Falls
didn't they use it for Gravity Falls
no idea maybe
I think they did but I'm not 100% sure
anyway
I think
so
they did though
I'm kind of resigned to maybe that they're dead anyway I you know what I might continue AC India but I'm not sure
yeah
I didn't
totally,
have
totally did
okay yep. Cool that's fine. I didn't have as bad of a time with it. Like, the opening 2 hours are not nearly as, like...
Yeah, the beginning of China was, like...
Ugh. It's super rough. Yeah. So, I also played a little bit of the new game that got released on Steam this week called Oxenfree, which I've been hearing a lot about.
Yeah, everyone's talking about Oxenfree.
Very, very interesting. It's like Broken Age meets Until Dawn. But the one thing I'll say is that I agree with Jim Sterling's title for his squirty play... I hate that name.
Me too.
Of Oxenfree, which is Shut Up, Ren, because in the first few seconds of the game, you meet a chatterbox character called Ren, which if they're trying to make him annoying, they sure succeeded. Because he's a chatterbox that talks to your characters, the character they're controlling so much that I'm like, shut up, please.
Let me get on with this.
Like, he's like a super chatterbox, and I'm just like, it's a really, really interesting game. I only play like about 40 minutes of it, but... It's a weird walking around and a lot of dialogue, but the art style is nice. And like,
it is 3D, right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's
a 2D game, but the art is 3D,
art
I think,
that's
right?
Just moving.
Okay.
And you're not really three dimensions, but it's really interesting. And you have a radio that can contact other dimensions. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
I want to play a bit more of it, but I'm not really sure about it yet. I told Pat about this a little bit, but I sunk more time into some X-Files episodes, specifically the one where Mulder uses an Oculus Rift by a company called First Person Shooter.
Yeah.
Oh, because really? There's an AI on the loose that wears thongs and is a super hot stripper, and Scully is like, all you guys are fucking nerds playing your nerd video games.
That's the episode by William Gibson, right?
It is.
Yeah, because that episode is one of the few I've seen. And it's because it was written
hilarious.
By William Gibson that I watched
it. Because Mulder dresses up as Blade, and he's got like his arms like uncovered. And Mulder's got the most normal arms ever. And I don't know what I expected, but you never see that really. He's always wearing the suit or whatever.
Even though they're just wearing a headset, they're in like the like fantasy full body immersion VR.
It's so
and
hilarious.
They're walking around in different sets in this VR world and stuff.
And they're all
awesome.
Mulder says things like, can you wrap a texture around that and find out who the criminal is? And the lone gunman look at Mulder like, how do you know what a texture is? Oh, that's crazy. And like, Scully just like, you know what Scully does? We all talked about it. It's like, geez, Mulder, I don't know what I saw. Could it even have been a vampire? I don't know. I don't know what I saw. And she takes that attitude to video games. She's like, I don't know what these video games are, but it's not science. Yes, it is.
It's pretty sciencey, man.
Like, she doesn't believe in video games.
The
it's
mystical
weird.
Coder.
She wants to believe.
Spirit
she
coding from believe. Another realm.
Did you see that edit on the X-Files thing that says, I want to believe, and instead of I want to believe, it says, fucked up if true?
Oh, yeah.
That's a solid one. So I enjoyed that. I also saw the weirdest other episode. Again, it was written by Chris William Gibson. But Chris Carter wrote one, which is about Catherine Najimy. Remember her? The redhead? Like on news... what was the old sitcom with David Foley about the news?
News
thing?
Radio.
News Radio.
News Radio, yeah.
She was in that, and she's like Catherine with a K. Catherine Najimy.
Just go on, go on.
Anyway,
go on. Ignore the screen.
She's in this thing where she plays two different characters, and when these women collide, they're not related except never mind. The Catherine Najimy is someone else. But
just type in Catherine News Radio.
How about this? I'm going to close the window because
how
you guys
that?
Can't just
gets
power
distracted.
Through it.
Can't
you're supposed
through.
To ignore the
screen. Ignore the screen.
Anyway, it was the weirdest, most bonker episode where we constantly went, what the fuck is happening? Rob Van Dam is in the episode. He starts doing wrestling moves and Mulder's about to get into the ring. And it was just the weirdest fucking thing ever. It was so strange. But I wanted to watch it because Rob Van Dam was in it. And the last kind of
did
thing.
Did he have a stupid moment where he pointed at himself?
No, he played like a death character. Like he had a death hood on. And he was like death.
Death can point at his chest.
Yeah, he can.
Death, 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 death.
It was such a weird episode. And when these women collide, everyone goes into a bloodlust and fights each other because their psychic energy causes people to fight. So they're in a wrestling ring. And then Mulder's like, everyone stop fighting. It was very strange. The last little thing I did is I bought a bunch of comics, some of them I didn't know existed, like Warren Ellis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is writing a James Bond comic.
What is this place?
I bought the first three issues.
What?
I haven't started them yet, but I'm like, Warren Ellis? Warren Ellis wrote an amazing G.I. Joe animated movie.
Okay, hold on. What is it? What's the run called?
The subtitle of it, but it's put out by IWD. So just IDW. Sorry, James Bond comic. I also guess what broke down. I'm tired of waiting for you, Saga. So I found two standalone issues of Saga.
He's cheating. He's reading ahead.
I'm reading ahead a little bit.
Okay. Okay.
And,
fair enough. I can't blame you, man.
I started reading. Varger. Anyway, James Bond Varger. I'm really excited to read that. I started reading the saga, but I obviously don't want to go into it, but it was still like, okay, it's going. I also picked up the first issue of Patsy Walker because Patsy Walker I love now because Patsy Walker is so neat. That her interpretation in Jessica Jones was so neat and like, but she wasn't Hellcat. And this is like Patsy Walker.
Okay, that took me a second. Okay, yeah, okay,
yeah.
Patsy Walker.
So the cover of this Patsy Walker comic is her being pressured to sign issues of Patsy Walker.
Good.
Wow.
And I'm like, because I'm not sure if like most of you know, but Patsy Walker was a legit like sexist 50s interpretation of women in a Barbie standpoint.
Yeah.
In the 50s.
Yeah.
And she became Hellcat in the 70s or whatever.
Because the 70s were weird,
she became, and it's her struggling with, I assume, is the Jessica Jones interpretation of her character. And I'm kind of interested in reading that because she's also...
My mom is evil.
Yeah.
Boy.
Oh, God, was she evil.
Boy, howdy.
And I really like her as a team-up with She-Hulk in the She-Hulk comics I've been reading. Because she's a great team-up because she also loves drinking and just going to the bar after a hard days of superheroing. So I'm excited to go through that. And the last thing...
I got to punch out at the superhero clock.
Shulk is the fucking best, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the Monado.
Wooly's really feeling it. The last thing is that Spider-Gwen got a new comic because after, like...
Of course she did.
She got a new comic because they stopped the Spider-Gwen.
Because you don't have to say because. Spider-Man, like, everyone knows. Like,
But they stopped her, like, series, and then they're now restarting it up.
Yeah.
Which is
but
confusing
it's like
to
you,
me.
But every once in a while, it's like, we accidentally a brand new character. that everyone loves. So
Willie,
we're going to keep
it going.
Do
you know what the subtitle of this new Spider-Man universe comic is? It's probably the strongest one ever.
Hit me.
Now, my favorite used to be Scarlet Spider, all of the power, none of the responsibility.
Yeah, yeah. But is this one like Spider-Gwen, I didn't fuck Norman Osborn in this timeline?
Willie, it's simply called Radioactive Spider-Gwen.
Yeah! Yeah.
So I bought the first three issues of that. I haven't read it yet, but I just got these like yesterday, but I'm really excited to read that. But Radioactive Spider-Gwen, they should all be called Radioactive blank, blank, blank. Yeah.
But you're pretty much on the money, Pat. Anything to get Gwen away from that fucking ridiculous retcon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but instead you have Peter Parker's the Lizard and he's dead.
I'll take it.
So yeah, that about does me for those 7 days.
European children? Who the fuck?
And I don't care about any of that shit. It's all hilarious.
Okay. I'm glad someone remembers.
When you said that all I heard was that sounding
radioactive.
Because on the Grumps episode, like, I called it, oh, you remember Radioactive Spider-Man, I said Radioactive Spider-Blood,
as you should,
and everyone knows immediately what that is when you say that. So like that should be the name of the fucking show. Let's take a quick word from our sponsors. What you got there?
Got a loot crate. Crate of loot.
I'll talking crack to your it mic. Open.
Got a loot crate. Crate of loot.
You gotta speak into the mic.
You have to talk into your mic.
I gotta look at the crate while turning my head towards the mic.
Multitask.
We'll try to do it.
Do it. Do it better.
I think your examination of difficulty is overstated.
So is yours. the theme of this month, Willie, is...
Invasion.
Invasion.
How did I know you
were... Give me that thing on the top.
Way.
It looks like cool.
It looks
like... Is that a Christmas sweater? No, it's not.
It's a Christmas Galaxy Gansey or jumper.
What have we got on?
We've got a shirt with a Christmas-themed pattern on it, and there's a Mars rover and what looks like a Hubble satellite?
I don't know. This actually looks really nice.
That's a really nice t-shirt.
Yeah. I was going to say, like, it's tricky to describe, but yeah, it's a Christmas pattern. Ooh, it's mine, period. Like,
did you just hawk that?
Yeah, it's mine.
All right, he hawked it.
Okay.
I like space more than you people.
The only
space
other
is cool.
thing that that's what in is here that? Is a gigantic Halo box, lunchbox
that
or
thing's
something.
Big.
Oh, it's
this,
a smaller
by the
loot
way,
crate.
This
yes.
loot crate is bigger than any other loot crate. And that's because of this Halo thing that's in here.
Give me the Halo box. I will open it for you.
I will open it. I have opened it because I have man hands.
Sit there with your nice t-shirt.
I cannot
keep your
open
hands
it.
To yourself.
There
I'm
you
rubbing
go.
It. I'm petting it.
Lunchbox.
And the stuff is in the pail.
Okay.
So we've got a Halo lunchbox.
We have a pop figure, which is
Han Solo.
Han Solo in
and it's
his
old
snow
man
gear.
Han Solo.
It is snow gear, so this is where he's like, that's not how the Force works,
yeah,
idiot.
Yeah.
That's a good Han Solo.
It's probably
very
the
specific.
Best line in that entire movie.
I really like that.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Oh, bittersweet, though. Galaxy Quest.
You're not a good father.
Nice Galaxy
Holy
Quest
shit.
Patch.
That's unfortunate.
Oh, cool.
Alan
or
Rickman.
A fortunate.
But he wanted us to have
Wait,
this.
Galaxy Quest.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Wow. Patch.
Okay.
Willie, you want to take a look at that?
Yeah, sure. That is some old stuff.
With
Ooh.
Such luminaries such
I'll
as Tim Allen.
I'll take this. Cute little BB-8 socklets.
Ah!
Oh, those are cute.
You can use those for any sock-based purposes.
Those are awesome.
And we have a pin. We got a...
The Galaxy pin.
Loot Crate Galaxy pin in there. So that's all in the Halo box, and this is a nice tin, by the way.
Okay, so this
you
is
can
not,
store your drugs
so,
in this
so,
Halo
so,
box.
There, we this was confusing because the theme for this month's crate is Invasion. That's coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
this is Galaxy from last month.
Yeah, we're idiots.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Bear this in mind. What is it?
This is a really nice little
Matt's got a download code.
What are you
in
holding
front of
there,
what
Matt?
You got? That's an
it
Xbox code.
It seems to be a supply rec pack for Halo.
Oh, a requisition pack.
I don't know what that means.
Oh,
it's
got the cards for Halo 5 in it.
Sure.
Yeah. Pass me that. I know someone
pass
would like
that
very much.
Him.
There you go.
So this is the Galaxy
Thank you.
Pack?
Yeah, it's not Invasion.
This is Galaxy.
And a Halo 5, it's a little booklet with producers.
It
and
got confusing because
yeah,
I saw Halo
the
and it was like there's
that.
Tons of invasions
yeah.
in Halo.
Yeah.
So no, that's it. So, like basically, Invasion is what is coming up
yeah.
for the next crate. So yeah, that's a pretty solid example of stuff. Oh, damn, that shirt and socks are fucking great, man.
Yeah,
they're ours. You
if
can't
you
want
to get that kind of stuff delivered straight to your door for $20, for less than $20 a month, you head on down. You can head on down to lootcrate.com/super, enter the promo code
super,
and save
Up to $3?
Up to $3
on your subscription.
Loot Crate subscription.
There you go. Yep.
That's
you
how
did
that
it.
Works.
Yep.
There you go.
And yeah, this month you're getting in on the X-Files, Alien, Fifth Element, Space Invaders, and generic other sci-fi goodness. Ooh.
All the regular invasions.
The regular invasions.
In addition to the all-star invaders.
I hope they sell that David Duchovny Musk scent I've been wanting recently.
I'm hoping for anything with the name Zim. On it.
Ooh,
it's quite possible. True, eh? It's quite possible.
That's my fucking speed
there
right there.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, Loot Crate.
Thank you, Loot Crate.
Thanks.
All right. I guess, fuck it. We'll mix things up and go crazy. Cross the table diagonal from Matt over to Liam.
Oh, shit. Oh, goddamn. I can't handle
Liam
this.
Was doing all that research.
I wasn't ready. I'm not ready. I'm
He's
not
been
ready.
Researching his week all week.
I've been researching all week. I need to know what it's like to live in the life of myself.
Yeah.
So, a few things, of course, as usual. I played some video games. I've been playing Volume and Echo Knight, mainly. Echo Knight is...
Why were you playing Echo Knight? You're telling me about
Echo Knight's good. I really like it.
No, but why did you decide to do it?
It was on sale on PSN a little while ago. 2 months? A month ago? 2 months ago? It was like $1. I said, you know, fuck it. And I booted it up, and I didn't know anything about Echo Knight.
Fuck it is a pretty good reason.
And I just came together, and I just really like it. It's just a really good... like slow mystery game, and so yeah, that's it. I'm playing it
because I played about 10 minutes of that because I was researching it for the shitstorm. I was like, man, this is slow and not scary.
Yeah, if you played 10 minutes, you didn't even get to the game.
I figured I didn't.
Like, you start out in a house. I don't know if you remember that.
I thought you started on a train.
I believe you start in a house and then you go to a train and then you go to a boat. I believe that's the order.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. Right. Never mind.
And it's only when you get on the boat that the game actually starts.
Yeah, on the boat.
Up till there, you're still in the like prologue section. But I'm playing that. I really, really like it. And I've been playing Volume. And
how does that pick up?
It's good. It's got a really so VR missions in Metal Gear Solid. You know, I don't think there's any hard rules, but I think generally most people play them after they finish the main game, with the exception of the disc, the solo disc, where you can only play VR missions. Of course, generally I don't think people boot up Metal Gear Solid and play VR missions before
talking
playing
about MGS 1?
1 and 2.
Yeah.
And so those games have a built-in tutorial of the full game where you play the game and you kind of learn how everything works. Yeah. And then the VR missions are like, they're like challenge trials where they ask you to excel with those tools, right? Mm-hmm. And some of them are really fucking hard. In Volume, since, VR missions are the main campaign, it's balanced very differently and it's got a really gradual, slow difficulty curve. It's, as far as I can see, there's 100 levels in the campaign. I'm around 40 something. Mm-hmm. And the difficulty curve is just, it's really nice and smooth. And every couple levels, you'll be like, oh, this is that same kind of trick as before, but now it's tougher. And I don't know, it's just slick, and you get a lot of, there's tons of different power-ups.
Are you still in the warehouse?
Yeah, absolutely.
What's the latest ability you've gotten picked up?
The latest one lets you shoot out a clone of yourself that runs forward.
And attracts everybody's attention.
And if a guard sees it, they'll run after it, cool. And you can go do whatever. But like, looking at like lists of stuff in the game, I can see other ones entirely. Like there's one called the Blackjack, apparently. I haven't gotten there yet, but and it
sounds
lets you
like a gun
take
power.
Down, lets you take down guards. Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. So there's a lot of mechanics I still haven't got to, but it's a really, really enjoyable time. It's nice to have a stealth game that's like built around 2 to 3 minute levels on your first go through, rather than, not that I don't like stealth games that are big, like 40 minute elaborate, like slow levels, because those are really satisfying, but it's different and it does its own thing and it's really, really cool.
Well, I mean, the fact that you were playing
and the voice acting is still incredible. Yeah,
the fact that you were playing it last week and this week and it's still going through it means like, yeah, that's definitely like a lot of stuff there.
Yeah, I haven't been sitting down and playing it for like hours at a time or anything, but it's a very good game to just pick up and play. It's really got that going for it with the levels being like 2 or 3 minutes long, like I mentioned.
Man, I guess most people did play the full game before the VR missions.
You played VR missions first?
I got the top ranking on every single MGS1 VR mission before I touched the main game.
That's the only person
I think that's
I
a very
that
fringe
that
situation.
And the reason
that's
why everybody else, I figured, didn't do that is because
because they click on new game.
And no, MGS2 yeah. didn't have those well, on its first release.
That's true.
And, you know, stuff like that.
You click on briefing.
Yeah.
You watch the briefing.
You watch the briefing, hopefully.
Then you start
Yeah, because I did briefing, and then I want to make sure I'm good at this game because sure. I don't play stealth games.
Sure, yeah.
And then I did all of them, and then the rest of the game was like a fucking cakewalk.
Because they're harder than the actual game.
They're way harder. Yeah.
I mean, I understand the mentality because first time you pick up a fighting game, I go straight to training and see.
Yeah,
what's
yeah,
going
for
on.
Sure. And it was I had never played a stealth game before that.
So, like what you just said, that's the main difference here is it can't start you off with tough challenges because the campaign is the VR missions. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's really good. I gladly recommend it to anyone who likes stealth games. And even if you don't, because the missions are only like 2 minutes long, I still think other people could find enjoyment out of it because it's more of like a just pick up and play something kind of thing. Last season, I didn't really talk about anime very much because there wasn't, I mean, you knew One Punch Man was on. I didn't need to tell you
that's all you needed.
Boy, that but ended strong.
For whatever reason, I wasn't watching a lot of stuff last season. But I started going through a little late some of the new stuff this season.
Do you have the anime fever?
Well, there's a couple. I have anime fever for a few.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So the first one that I don't really have anime fever
mistake,
for,
though.
But,
wrap
it up, wrap it up.
But I really like it is Gate. Yeah. Gate's back.
Yeah.
Gate's
Gate.
Still
yeah.
good.
Still going.
Still hasn't shit the
so
bed.
You're caught up
Wait,
on
is
that?
It is yeah. it Gate or is it Steins Gate?
Sorry, I didn't watch the newest one, the Quake episode. I watched the one before that
Steins
one.
Gate.
Okay.
But still hasn't shit the bed yet. It's not Steins Gate. It's
okay.
just Gate.
Okay.
This Steins is Gate. The one where the soldiers
you,
go into the fantasy land
okay,
and shoot
got
things.
Got it, got
military
got it.
Versus yeah, exactly. versus fantasy.
The Dark
so
Sword.
So you know what,
by,
Liam? You know
Weiss
what?
And Trace
are you caught up?
No, but I think maybe, just maybe, the trick is to think something's gonna shit the bed the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So that you
and
enjoy
then when it
what's
shit the
yeah,
bed.
And then
you're like, yeah, yeah, exactly.
Put yourself in the frame of mind where you're like, and then it stays fine.
Yeah.
How about that?
No,
okay.
for sure.
Always right. be prepared for disaster.
One of the other ones I watched is called Erased. So the first episode is very like mysterious, kind of
sequel to Eraser.
The main character is a manga artist, but that's not important. That's just what he does, and he also works at a pizza delivery place. And he has this power that they don't give you all the info on really in the first episode, mm-hmm. but. When something bad happens, like someone dies or something like that, he can go back in time a certain amount and try to rectify it. And he doesn't have to rectify it, but he can do it if he wants.
So very nice.
Is this like a Japanese version of Daily Edition?
Max Caulfield.
I don't know. Maybe.
Reverse King Crimson?
I don't know. Maybe.
Max Caulfield, actually. That's a better example.
They still, like...
Just works.
They've shown his... I think he used the power 3 times in the episode, and... It's still vague. Like, does it trigger automatically? Does he trigger it? There's still some unclear things on that. So as time goes on, it'll reveal itself. The episode ends with a particular character's death, and with him using his ability to jump back in time from his 40-year-old self to when he was 8 years old, because apparently that's how far back he had to go to do it.
Wow.
Yeah, because it only jumps him back, it seems, to when he has to be. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So usually it'll only be like 5 minutes or
that
a minute
like
or
way
30
better
seconds.
Than...
But it jumps him back from middle age to like young middle age to like 8 years old.
That's terrifying.
And that's the first episode. And it's like, oh,
that's fucking
shit.
Terrifying.
Oh, shit. So really interesting. I adore time jumps in shows because when they're done really well, like in Gurren Lagann or Umi no Asukara, that's not what it's called. Whatever. Asukara. I don't fucking care. They're super
Ikki
good.
Ikki Tausen, I think.
Ikki Tausen, Dragon Destiny.
Good time jump.
Yeah, exactly.
Shippuden. Good time jump.
Another really good one that I liked was Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju, which is about it's about a prisoner who gets out of jail and he's got nothing. He's got no money. He's got no place to go back to.
Doesn't escape. He's released.
He's released from jail. Okay. And at some point while he was in jail, a Rakugo, I believe this takes place, by the way, in like the 60s or 70s or something. A Rakugo performer had come to the prison and done a performance. And that's I've never actually seen it in real life, but it's a Japanese performance art where one person performs a play, I guess, effectively. Usually
one man show?
Yeah, usually from a seated position the entire time. And
so Kathy Griffin came down out of the prison and did a show.
And by shuffling about their wardrobe and voice, they make a bunch of different characters. Okay. Exactly. And he fell in love with this guy's performance. And when he gets out of prison, he's like, fuck it.
I'm going to do that.
I'm going to go to that guy and become his apprentice. And this guy's never taken an apprentice before. And he goes there and the guy's like, what are you doing? Get in the car. You're hired. Whatever. And the episode's like 40 something minutes long, and it's just the clearly like the early beginnings of this story where he learns a bit about the characters around him and like why this is a part of their life. Mm-hmm. And it's really intriguing. There aren't really any other shows like it.
So these are just the pilots, right?
The first episodes. They're not pilots because
they haven't gotten into the robots yet.
These are the first episodes strictly. Yes, okay. Yeah, exactly. Although it's 47 minutes long, this first episode.
Okay.
And it's really good. And you get to see some performances by the guy who inspired him and also by him. And they're entertaining in their own rights because they're like mini stories within the show. Mm-hmm. And it's just really interesting and unique. There's nothing else really quite like it. And it actually takes a little bit of a turn at the end of the episode that I didn't really see coming from the beginning. But I think that show was really good. Myriad Colors Phantom World. It's by Kyoto Animation. They're the best goddamn animators there are right now. Just go watch it.
That's quite a claim.
For TV quality anime,
yeah,
they're the best animators there are. Where are they based? Probably in Kyoto.
Yeah.
My week is going to challenge that a little bit, but we'll see.
That's okay. And the last show that, like, for me is really the standout. Like, these are all really good shows, I think. But BBK/BRNK. Bubuki Buranki is what it's called. Bubuki Buranki, right?
Bubuki Buttki.
Whatever.
Takes
place in a world almost entirely foreign to our own. At the beginning, basically there's these characters and they can clearly use some sort of magic, and there's these robots, and there's this one robot who's kind of like dead on the ground, and nobody really explain why he's dead on the ground. And then there's these other giant robots that are walking. They're just walking around, and they're sleepwalking.
Okay.
And at some point the kids ask, "Hey mom, if they ever wake up, what happens?" And she's like, "Better hope they don't wake up." And they're huge, and they're just sleepwalking around the world, kind of.
That's a super weird concept.
That's a really interesting setting.
No, I know. It's really cool.
That's super weird.
And eventually, they do wake up.
Of course.
And then the kids get thrown in the mech and drop down into the earth, and it's revealed that they're on a floating island in the sky, and they fall down onto Earth, right? There's a huge time skip, and during that time skip, apparently the robot.
Is this the first episode?
Yeah. During that time skip, apparently what happened is the robot they got into caused mass destruction on the planet Earth.
An asshole.
And they're running effectively, these characters, and they grow up through the time skip, and they're like the children of this witch who sent them down. Although she didn't do anything evil, and it's all, you know, twisted kind of basically.
What's that
sounds
name again?
Super weird.
It's advertised as BBK/BRNK, which is just if you take out all of the vowels, Bubuki Buranki. It's really, really strong. I
it
really
saves
like
a
it.
Lot of time. To take
they
out the
they use CG for all the characters, but it's one of the best examples
BBK,
of CG I've seen.
BRNK.
If you remember the BBK, you're probably good enough.
Bukaki blank.
Oh my right. God, whatever. I've seen yeah. this before.
Have you?
I saw
I've seen this many
of this
times.
Shit.
Yeah, no,
this
the
Bukake show you speak of.
It's really
it
cool.
Looks like Sword Art.
No, not really. Anyway, it's really cool, and I think the coolest thing about it is like the world is so involved, and it's like Earth, but it's totally different. It's so incredibly hard to make a world with like legitimate, believable characters, and with such a large cast. It's got like 11 characters from the first episode, if
that,
not more.
That setting sounds fucking interesting.
It's
so,
really
hey,
really cool. Yeah. I think it's like the standout for me as far as what I've seen this season. But Oji-san and Marshmallow is a good contender too. So
Fuck is this weird hand eyeball thing I'm looking at?
That's one of the Bubukis.
Okay.
Yeah.
The baby cakes.
That thing is fucking weird looking.
See you later, baby cakes.
It's pretty cool, though. Anyway, that was pretty much my week. So I'll pass it over to you, Pat.
I didn't do shit.
Oh, good. I'll pass it over to you, Wooly.
All I did was play Dragon's Dogma that came out on Friday. Not tomorrow, which I thought it would.
Last Friday.
This past Friday.
How dark was this Arisen?
It's pretty dark.
Yeah.
Man, that game always needed a PC release really fucking bad. It's such a dramatic improvement. You went from like 24 frames a second. It used to run, because you guys would be more familiar with Castlevania Lords of Shadow 1.
Yeah.
That's how that game used to run. Mm-hmm.
I guess I'll be the one to deliver a fuck you on behalf of everyone who didn't know they were getting tricked into playing Monster Hunter.
Apparently. Yeah, no. I put that out there. It's like, hey, everybody, if you're enjoying Dragon's Dogma, particularly if you're enjoying the warrior class, you got tricked into playing Monster Hunter.
But see, it's still different, though.
But see, what
I
played...
It's very similar in more ways than it's different.
It's not as instanced, though.
When Dragon's Dogma was first revealed at Captivate, and I played it, I fought the Griffin for the first time, like, I liked it a lot because I'm like... Like, you know, cool dragon guys are cool and stuff, but I love mythological beasts and bullshit like that.
Yeah.
So instantly I'm like, I'm fighting a griffin.
Yeah.
So it's like instantly a little bit more like, yeah, mm-hmm. to
yeah,
me.
But... part of that game's charm is that like it looks generic from photos, but yeah, when you play it, so it's like, it's the lowest low fantasy.
Yeah.
Like it's just. Like, one of the nicest details that I really like is that unless it's noon, the main city is really dark all the time because the buildings are
cast
tall enough to
shadows,
cast so much shadow that it's like nighttime in almost every single street.
Hmm.
But yeah, no, that game's PC release is fantastic. It had a bit of a server problem where the pawn system didn't work over the past weekend. You could still hire people, and they would still learn things,
mm-hmm.
but if you sent a gift back to somebody's pawn, it wouldn't go, and nobody was getting any of the currency that you're supposed to get.
Fortunately,
that's
like a totally like tertiary...
No, it's actually super important.
I mean, I played it for like 20-something hours on the PS3, and I don't really
it's
use the pawn
It's way
system
more
much.
Important than you think it is.
Okay.
But as of this afternoon, that's been fixed.
That's good.
And so within the next day, like, pawns will start to earn money again.
Why is it important?
Okay, so the pawn system, a lot of people saw the pawn system were like, oh no, I want it to be 4-player co-op.
Yeah.
Right? And it's really not 4-player co-op. It's closer to like Pokemon than it is co-op. So the deal is Wooly, you have your main pawn, which you create. You create your player character and then you create your sub-character.
Yeah.
And you equip them, you level them, you assign their skills.
Yeah, I remember that stuff.
All that shit.
Yeah.
You also train them along certain inclinations. So there's utilitarian, which makes them do opportunistic stuff. There's medicant, which makes them focus on healing.
Their personality.
There's challenger, which makes them focus on mages and powerful enemies. There's scather, which always goes for the ogre in the group. Stuff like that. And as you play and your play style will inform that character and various actions, they will learn to be a certain way. And certain combinations of inclinations and skills can combine to form really, really effective party members or really, really bad party members. So if you have a mage that is pure guardian, they will do pure guardian medicant, they will do nothing but try and heal you. Even if you're only damaged for like 1 HP, they will try and heal you. And they will never cast any of their offensive spells. They'll never cast any of their offensive buffs. And they're kind of terrible. But if you have one that's like challenger utilitarian, it's a fantastic one. So you make your main pawn and then you need two other slots. And your two other slots are made out of other people's pawns.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always more money going into the system than there is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But the pawns also have a 3-star ranking in every enemy knowledge type in the game, every quest knowledge type in the game, and every... environment in the game. So when your pawn kills an ogre 50 times and sees, a cyclops, and sees that you can break their tusks to weaken them, that you can hit them with lightning to stun them, that you can douse them in water and freeze them and they take extra damage from freeze attacks. If they see the move where you jump on their head and they pull their helmet off to get you off, all that stuff. Eventually, they will learn how to beat that cyclops. And then when they are hired by a different person to go into their game, when you encounter that cyclops, they will call out, yo, stab it in the eye, climb on its head to do this.
Yeah.
They will attack the back of its knees to knock it down and stuff like that.
They effectively learn
how to
fight enemies.
They will become way more effective. There are almost no quests. So, you know, in an RPG, there's your little icon on your minimap that says go here to talk to the next person in the quest.
Yeah.
Those don't exist if no one on your team knows shit. So if you don't know a thing about the quest and you have all new people...
You can still accept it?
You can still accept it, and the characters will exist in the world, and there will be very minor ones where you can talk to somebody and say, oh, you should go talk to Stefan about the thing, and then it'll show up.
But all Stefan.
But like, for example, there are quests in which you need to find items. And if no one on your team has done that quest, you will just have to go and find it. But if you did hire a guy that did do that quest with his player or somebody else's,
because you rent,
you will
things.
Get an icon on your map that says "Go here to do it."
Because you can rent pawns basically.
Okay,
and
you rent
has
them with
experience.
So you get rift crystals based on experience from people using your pawn, and you use those rift crystals to buy pawns that are higher level than you.
Okay,
so
that is a good explanation as to why they are important.
So if in the system in the past weekend, no one was earning any rift crystals, you couldn't buy any pawns that were higher level than you, so you couldn't get any of that. And no one, and because of that, like, the people were using the system less because you could only use a pawn for one level before it became outdated. They weren't gaining the knowledge bases that they were supposed
to. It was pointless,
but luckily that's been fixed within 3 days of the game's release.
So it's
and
pretty
so
insignificant in the grand scheme.
It's the kind of thing that if it was broken for like 2 weeks, that game's meta would be fucked up. Because you would have a bunch of level 70 pawns that no one could afford that wouldn't know about any of the beginning enemies.
It'd be basically useless.
So, like, now it's fixed, now it works, and like, as of tomorrow, everyone will be getting their Rift Crystals.
That's good.
That game is astounding. That game is amazing. Like, Dark Arisen came out a year after the first game's release, and that was too soon for me because I put in way too much time to the original release. But, man, this game is so fucking awesome. And there's three games in here. There's the main game that everyone plays
there's
up
the
until
main
the
game,
final boss.
There's Dark Arisen, and then there's Stare at Mercedes Forever.
No, there's the main game, then there's the post game after you defeat the final boss, which is an entire, like, think of it as Master Quest and the true ending all in one, and it includes a super dungeon. And then there's the expansion super dungeon, which is Dark Souls. And I don't mean like it's kind of like Dark Souls. I mean the entire format of the game changes. It goes from an open world RPG to a dungeon crawler with shortcuts and gear.
Yeah, because it's one specifically designed island.
Yes,
right?
It's Bitter Black Island, and it's designed for characters that crushed the post game.
You have to be level 70 or so to even
stand
a chance.
Okay, so Capcom recommends you're level 45. That's bullshit. That's nonsense. Mm-hmm. Most people
too
recommend
low,
like
high.
Level 70, and other people say like level 100 or something. Like
too
it's
low.
Crazy tough.
Way too low.
But
if
you're crazy, you can go in there and kill enemies by kicking them off of off of ledges and shit, and get a bunch of overpowered gear to
that's
go back
what
to
heroes
the main game.
Do.
With. Mm-hmm. That game's amazing.
How many games? What's closer to tickling everyone's dickholes about a Berserk game? Souls
or Dragon's
or
Dogma?
Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma is so close in a lot of. Okay, all right,
let's tally it up. Hold
I
on,
think
hold
you
on.
Need
because one
Bloodborne
actually has
Bloodborne has the brand.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Dragon's Dogma
has the brand,
and the accessories,
and Berserk.
Not anymore. Those got taken out,
but they did have it.
But they did have it. Yeah,
they were there.
The brand in Dragon's Dogma looks more like the real brand than the one in
Bloodborne.
Dark Souls
Artorias looks exactly like the Berserker armor.
And this Dragon Slayer is in that game.
The Dragon Slayer
it's sprinkled.
Demon Souls.
The main thing about Dogma is that its story, the primary arc, is a dragon got added into the Golden Age. Like, there's a king that is... The duke in this game is the Duke of Midland.
Okay,
he's exactly the same. He looks the same. His plot is nearly identical.
He has, like, a weird daughter.
He even does that thing where he goes old and crazy.
Ah, jeez.
Near the end.
I'm going to give it to Dragon's Dogma because the Souls games or whatever don't have...
They have the art.
Don't just have, like, regular countryside with castles and kingdoms. No, everything's always fucked.
Souls series?
I think the level design in Dragon's Dogma is what gives it to Dragon's Dogma.
Absolutely.
Right. No, seriously.
I agree.
A Berserk game... I mean, not that I wouldn't play it, because I played the Dreamcast one a lot, but like the linear level-based thing isn't what Berserk is.
Dragon's Dogma feels like it's two towns over from Midland.
Yeah.
Also, you can make a guy that looks like Guts.
You don't have to even make
him. He's a preset.
He's a preset in the character creator.
Oh, that's... he's
with the closed eye and the scar.
Yeah, I saw this.
No, that is like preset number 5 or something. Because
you're supposed to use it with the armor.
And Farnese and Shirk are also presets in that game.
You still kind of get that feeling like when you're wearing an amiibo... not amiibo, like
an amiibo
costume.
Yeah.
You know, you get that kind of like, oh, it's not real. But still, it's there.
That game's so... goddamn
fair enough.
Good. Me and my trusty Pahan baseball wandering around hitting things. Also, the moveset for the warrior is Guts' moveset.
Damn it.
Like, it's exactly the same.
Damn it.
Play Dragon's Dogma. It's good.
So close.
Dragon's Dogma is your kind of game.
Guts'
Dogs.
That game has so many.
Guts is Yogg Ventures.
That game has so many fucked up problems.
Cancelled.
Like, the story is super weird and comes out of nowhere, and you can do side quests that assume you did main quests, but you don't know what they're talking about. The map is really small. It's super fucked up in art, but it's the things that it does good are so.
Like the
good.
Combat, yeah.
Yeah, the combat.
Climb onto a griffin and let it fly.
Yeah, I never had a
there's,
problem
there's no,
with the
there's
combat.
No, like, direct multiplayer type.
No, 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 no. Zero. Yeah,
that's what the MMO version
it's
is.
It's asynchronous yeah, right. to 100%.
Yeah.
Okay. I personally much prefer the pawn system to the to any multiplayer you could have added into that game. And it always bummed me out that that game was surrounded by, why isn't it like Skyrim? And why can't I play it in multiplayer when it's actually a very, very different game?
Mm-hmm. What stops you from getting the super best pawn ever?
The currency that you earn from people using your pawn is what you use to hire better pawns than your current level.
Got it.
And it scales exponentially per level.
Got it. Okay.
So if I wanted to buy the number one ranked pawn right now, which is level infinity, it would cost, I think, like 9 million Rift Crystals.
Yep.
I currently have 2,000.
And it's only a temporary hire.
Not a lot, actually.
No, it'll stay forever until you dismiss them.
Oh, cool.
The reason why you would get rid of them is because they don't level, because you hire them at a static point.
They only level in that person's game.
So, like, eventually they will become outdated. But what you can do is release them and then rehire them, because assuming the person had played them.
Only one person can hire at a time?
Nope.
So all the knowledge they learn across everyone's instances comes back together.
So sometimes you will, if you have a popular pawn, I had a popular pawn in the original game.
He was popular.
Well, relatively so. They will come back with like 100,000 crystals, and you will look through their bestiary, and it'll have 3 stars on unknown enemy 20 times in a row.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah. That's where the shadow clones. It's Kagebunshin no Jutsu.
Yeah.
Got all the knowledge.
And the last like nice little edge to that system is anybody on your friends list, their pawn is free, mm-hmm. no matter what they are.
That's cool.
So when you have a bunch of people on your friends list that have really awesome pawns, like, you tear through that game.
Yeah.
So I don't know, man. That game's fucking great. Everybody should play it. And
how's that theme song go?
Oh god, the wind is pushing me.
Yeah.
Oh man, so that was the top mod on the Nexus.
Oh, I bet it was.
To put in that fucking J-Rock theme back into the game.
Yeah.
And I put it up on Twitter, like, everybody go get it. It's down like 6 hours after I put it up.
Oh man.
But you can find it elsewhere.
The, like, Dragon's Dogma and Street Fighter games.
The Ono Age.
The Ono Age. Let's put this bullshit music in. That's incredibly cheesy, but nobody likes.
Whatever, I'm never changing that. That's awesome.
No,
and
you're right to
I want
to so.
Give like a little golf clap. Little ups to whoever the hell it was that fixed their server problem, because it was the weekend and today is Martin Luther King Jr. Day in mm-hmm. whatever, so they must have either come in on their off day or done it from home or whatever. So thank you for fixing that,
Martin Luther King
Jr.
Yeah, he did it. He loves Dragon's Dogma.
He would, because it's flying into free.
I love these pawns. They're free.
Yeah.
He had a dream that
even though
he would
pawns
mount a griffin.
That was the dream. That was
there
the
is
one.
A, pawns, by
there,
definition,
there
are so not the freest people.
There is eventually a dream
people.
Aspect to that storyline.
Pawns are like the most slaves ever.
Yeah. No, they're slaves and they like it. It's super weird. You talk to somebody, you're like, pawns will just rot to death and not eat if no one tells them what to do.
They're literally just in love with their job. I remember that.
Martin Luther King Jr. was way more proficient with the Dragon Slayer than anyone really knew.
Oh, well, of course.
Nobody thinks of pawns as people. Like, they think of it like, oh, weirdo pawns, ew, gross.
Yeah. I got mixed up and I misspoke earlier. I said Thanes because I remember in the fucking awful Beowulf game that Ubisoft put out, you had a bunch of people that would fight for you and they were called Thanes. Mm.
Does that mean Malcolm X is Griffith?
Yes.
No.
No.
Maybe.
No.
No. That's no.
No. Oh, but then they do the X cut on the giant fucking horned demon that
Malcolm
is the white man.
The Malcolm X cut? Like,
They do the Malcum X cut. You know, Malcolm X goes left.
Excuse me, you mean Malcolm Cross?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Right? He goes left, he goes right, and then they both slash and they take out the man.
Malcolm Cross.
Malcolm Cross. solid.
That's a solid. Solid. To
you've been thinking for a while, and you've got nothing.
No, I'm just thinking about how crazy the ending to Dragon's Dogma is.
All right.
Okay.
It's fucking
when
nuts.
Malcolm X shows up.
Kind of.
Breaking news before my weeks. Apparently, Metabots Girl Mission is the first M-rated Metabots game.
Finally.
So I believe it's rated C, right? Then
I can end my
and
hunger
I believe,
strike.
I believe the C rating is 16 plus, but yeah, it's a little bit different.
That is
but
the
yeah.
sexiest meta B I've seen in a while. It's now that I
that
see
much
him.
Is for
this
sure.
This game
yeah.
is a little what they call blue.
Yeah,
he's got blue. Those Shadman shading techniques on him.
it's like Digimon, the 3DS Digimon and the upcoming Cyber Sleuth.
Yeah.
They're like aimed at an older audience, so yeah.
I'm also a fan of Matt and myself as Akatsuki traders over here.
We're so realistic. That's, we look like we're rotoscoped.
That's good. Yeah, because really it's actually Drake. And
oh my God, yeah, I'm Drake.
It's really good though.
You're Drake?
I guess so. He is Canadian.
So I didn't
think.
Have much of a week he myself, is. But like I and I know like Pat
because you were playing Dragon's Dogma.
Well, Pat,
right?
You just said that and then like went on to go on the longest of the weeks with that game.
I
but
thought
that
mine
sounds
was pretty long.
But
I know no one cares, but I care.
You know what? I kind of care.
It's a cool game, man. You should talk about it.
It's so cool.
Right now, it's a question mark above my head.
Okay.
All right?
It's the kind of game that you'll touch it and know immediately.
Yeah.
No, you won't. Like, that tutorial prologue section is dull.
No, by touch it, I mean 3 hours.
Okay. Yeah. Because I played the demo when it came out.
Yeah.
You know, I
like,
did
it will repel you or not.
Technically, my save still exists.
No, it doesn't.
Anyway. Yeah, so I was really, really busy this week. Actually, a lot of it was setting up the stream. And a lot of it was...
And doing secret streams.
And doing some secret streams, that's true too.
Secret team.
And some other stuff, some other secret stuff. But what little time I did have, I was able to, A, go check out The Prince of Stride, a.k.a. Puristura.
Yeah.
Which is what they call it for short, because Japan's got to do
is
that.
Is it what you expected?
Yeah.
It is... And
is it what you expected?
It
a Mirror's Edge anime.
And it isn't.
I saw a lot of people going, oh man, I can't wait for Wooly to realize.
So did you know? Because Wooly, I knew. And that's why I laughed when you said you were going to watch
it.
You didn't know.
I didn't
Who recommended
know.
It to you?
Some Twitter person.
Well, they got you.
So last week, Wooly said he's going to watch Princess Stride. And I started laughing because it is an otome anime aimed squarely at girls.
What is otome?
It's reverse harem.
Girls.
It's okay. like if
it's
you know
okay. it's yeah. free basically.
Okay,
right? And I'm like, I haven't felt this way since I played Wartek Senko no Runde.
Oh yeah.
So here's where I'm at though. It's an otome, and it's like here comes the procession of hot guys.
Yeah.
Holding hands.
How hot are they?
Getting close.
They're hot, man. They're hot.
Steal like. Whoops. Like
yeah,
on fire.
Yeah, got
on
it. Okay.
Fire. All right, and you've got the quiet type that's brooding. You've
yeah.
got
yeah.
The
sports
Wooly type. Boy.
Yeah,
you've got the goofball. Yeah. Whatever bottom.
Yeah,
and the goofball is the most typical one. Like,
yeah.
I can't get over that.
The uke, and then you've got your I don't even know what. Whatever.
You have your aggressive guy who's kind of mean but really deeply cares,
and then your long haired.
And
double mysterious.
Yeah, I don't think in this show you have because you have there's the quiet introvert, but then there's the quiet brooding, and you only have the brooding in this one, right?
Yeah, well, you've got the main dark haired glasses like introvert brooding.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But then there's the guy in that left the team in the distance, and he's got the long hair.
Yeah. What
the one they all speak of,
and
like
his,
longingly.
His voice is way deeper.
What yeah. team is this?
The Prince of Stride.
What is that?
Okay, so
what do they actually do?
You went straight to the hot guys and ducked what the show is about.
Because it overwrote...
That's what the show's about.
It overwrote the Mirror's Edge aspect. So here's what it is. All right. Okay, here we go. You are, well, you're not, but the main character is this girl. And
okay.
she's going
well,
to
I
this
am.
High school.
Okay.
And she signs up and is... she's a huge fan of Stride. Stride is a new sport.
In universe, right?
In universe yeah. sport. And... and it is something that is more or less a mixture of parkour and relay racing.
Okay.
And what it amounts to is you set a course on a real place. And,
sure.
You know, right? And it could be like around the school, through the neighborhood.
Wherever.
Yeah.
And you have two teams of, well, actually, the so far we've seen many things with two teams of two. But, like, the full thing, I think, is, like, six people.
Mm.
And you all have to run this course, and then there's, like, a tag, a no, I forgot, like, an overtake zone.
Okay.
Where you tag, and then you have to tag at full speed and,
it's like,
keep
it's like
going.
The tag area on the floor in Kazuna Encounter.
Sort of. So everyone is running and doing their Mirror's Edge.
Okay.
To get to the zone to tag, and then the next person takes over.
Then they'll find PJ.
And the whole thing, and tagging, of course, it's not called tagging. It's called relationing. And you have to relation with your Stride
team members.
That's
terrible. I'm sorry.
And the whole thing is that this main girl, she just loves...
She can't pick.
She just loves the feeling of a true relation between men, and she needs to see that happen at the height of their speed. So you see...
is the thinnest veneer... the thinnest coating of high, like...
of, like, decency or something.
Oh,
and,
man!
And the reason why it's so amazing to
the
watch...
the attempt is so weak!
...is because the two characters who are doing the perfect relation...
yeah.
...do it at perfect speed, at their max...
why is everything
...to the
perfect?
Point where they trust each other so much... that they don't have to consider slowing down or looking to see where they are.
This,
I just feel that you're going to be there, and I extend my hands, and...
the most overt...
perfect.
We relate.
Overt metaphor.
But you're just running.
Like, I have... like, it's... wow.
So what's it actually about, though?
So here's the thing.
What's it actually
about? It's not about that.
It's not about that?
That's just...
it's about Madhouse... animating some motherfuckers running off of walls,
of course it is.
And doing cool shit.
You want to see some hot bods?
So bit.
You got hot bods,
hot anime bods.
Right. So you know the shaky screen, super speed, dashy technique. That mastered in this.
That's the whole well,
because it's the whole
that's
thing.
Part of the show.
No, it's the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know. And then the other part is, we need to make money for our sponsorships.
Oh, shut up!
Let's go. Sponsor.
Shut
let's
up.
Go model.
Shut
in
up.
These suits.
Shut up!
And like and fashion things to
just
take pictures
make them
to
look
make
super
money.
Pretty,
I thought you were gonna fucking say we have to start a car wash.
Maybe we're
maybe.
Not even there
it's
yet.
It's coming. It's coming.
And then we have the accidental trip against the rival hot guys team. And they're all, like, stylish and fashionable.
Wait, when you say trip against, what do you mean?
One guy was chasing the other because of angst.
Yeah.
And then they almost crashed into this group of people.
Okay,
that
that's what I thought you meant, like, physically crashed into. Yeah.
But they avoided them at the last second by doing a cool wall run jump dodge
was
flip.
Was it perfect?
And then he landed, like, whoa. And then the rival guys were like, hey, you made my heart start beating with that amazing wall
Shut
run.
Shut up.
Because it was
Shut
dead before.
Up! Shut up! That is not the line!
Put in some Stride.
Oh, man!
So I'm all in!
I gotta watch this
I'm
show!
All in!
Good, I'm glad.
Because the running is great, and I love this girl.
JoJo is off-season, so I need that.
You take it. Just take it all here. You've got everyone. They're all waiting for you.
I feel, as a compliment to you, you realized your mistake. But then you're like, no, let it ride, though.
Let it rock.
This is the best mistake I've ever made.
You triple down. You triple down on that.
That's admirable. Princess Stride is now your
big favorite. I need to see what this looks like. I need to see what it like actually looks like.
You'll take one look at it and wonder how he didn't know.
You can watch it on your own time.
That looks so much like Free, I kind of can't believe it.
Yeah, when Wild Brash Goofball Hot Guy is...
oh my god, Double Mysterious Man is unbelievable!
When he's laying on his back looking at the sky while everyone else is training, then Mysterious Long-Haired Man walks up behind him and he says, why aren't you training? Oh, I see. You're waiting. You're waiting for the wind at your back. Make sure when that wind comes, you stand up and you run at your fastest.
It's like poetry. It rhymes. It's beautiful.
And then cut to him walking away and then young guy looking at him like...
oh my god, that's not fair. Yeah. That's Sephiroth. That's fucking Sephiroth right there. That's the kind of thing that in anime world, a character would go, yo, that dude's an anime character.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And in real life, they'd go, yo, dude, your hair's too long to run.
Tune in to the Super Best Friend Cast, your new home of Puristura updates.
What does that even mean? What does that?
Yeah, you keep saying that.
Oh, puri. Oh, wow.
Prince of Strudel.
Okay.
Puri.
Pure strudel. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Other thing I did was I went to the escape game Amaze.
Okay.
You went again? Yeah.
I went again because there's a new room.
This is the fourth. I was gonna say, yeah.
So we did all three rooms with our group, and
did they eliminate an old room to get this one in?
No.
Okay. Cool.
They have more space.
They just added it. Okay.
And they're actually because there's a giant warehouse next door that they're acquiring.
Ooh, cool.
So
good for them.
Have tons of
so the question is, awesome. Is do you make a ton like five new rooms or do you make one big room?
It seems like multiple rooms is the way to go, and here's why. One big room can only deal with a certain amount of people at a time.
You put a tiger in there.
Multiple people.
Finally.
Multiple rooms means you can get more people in.
That's correct.
You know, and this thing's booked all day, all the time.
I would trade all the escape rooms in the world just for the French show on the island.
Which one's that?
You know, on the island.
Oh, man.
Where it's a maze.
Oh, man. So I remember that thing.
We've talked about this before.
It was a French game show that took place on an island castle and required, like, multiple, like, tests of physical strength or speed or whatever.
And puzzles, too.
And the last thing is that you were climbing under a gate that was closing over time.
And tigers.
In order to, like, grab, like, money and, like, escape back underneath the gate that was closing. What the fuck was... Oh, what was it? Ile de Trésor? Was that it?
Island of Traders.
In that description, you said like it requires you to like physically climb and do things and whatnot. And like these escape games are made to be mental.
The show had puzzles, like slide puzzles, and you had to like figure out some stuff too. Yeah. It was mostly physical.
So here's the thing, right? So we are like veterans at this point, and the guy recognizes us, and he's like, "Hey, you guys are back for the new room. Right?
You're not allowed.
You
guys are too good."
We did it. This one is, the theme is, it's, this is the military base. And this one's a departure. It's really interesting because it's different from the others. They're clearly trying.
Well, those three were built at the same time, more or less, right?
Probably.
Okay,
yeah. And like.
This one has a different feel to it?
This one has a feel like they learned and are evolving
the
concept.
Oh, okay, cool.
And it's fucking cool because obviously the less that I say the better because I don't
are there like metagame aspects that you're noticing have been improved or is it way more hard to see than that, like way more intangible?
The first three are escape the room situation, right? This one is more of like almost an adventure where it's like you progress.
There's progression more than anything.
You progress.
Is it physically bigger as well?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
How much so?
The first three were all about two rooms large.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
And this one was at
a
least
zillion.
Like
double,
four
triple.
Plus a hallway.
Wow. So like almost triple maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah.
Four plus a hallway, right? Mm. So, The cool thing is, this one, the first room, starts out like any of the others, where you're almost, like, stuck in trying
and
to escape.
I imagine at this point, you don't know it's bigger.
No, not at all.
You kind of assume it's the same.
Yeah, you don't know, but you go in, and then you finally figure out how to escape that first room, and then you get the reveal. And the reveal...
Is it the hallway?
Is a hallway with multiple doors.
That's sick.
And... The hallway is a fucking laser hallway.
That's sick.
And it's like, do we have to, what do we, how, oh. So fucking entrapment shit starts happening.
Navigate.
So what you're saying is that, Wooly, you cannot get through the laser hallway, being a big dude.
With all your hair everywhere.
And hair.
And not a giant butt.
There are multiple solutions, and one of them was getting on your fucking stomach.
Yeah.
And doing some
crawl
work.
Crawl along the ground like
doing
the snake
some
you
work.
Are.
In your skin.
But it might not work for everybody, mm-hmm. you know? But anyway, you get into multiple rooms. And, like, all I can say is military base theme. An Oculus was involved.
What? Really?
That's cool. At some point.
That's cool.
Now you got pink eye.
Because.
Now you got pink eye.
Yeah.
But it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and, like, they. And because it's much bigger. There's moments where backtracking is required.
Nice.
And splitting is necessary. And you have, like, locked, closed intercom systems where you can communicate with one person in one room and another person in another room. Just a lot of evolved concepts, you know? And the biggest change overall with this one is there, in the original ones, they had like a help button where it'd be like, press this if you're stuck. You get one clue.
The backup button.
Once,
yeah.
And then that's all you get, right? This, in this game.
May I ask, by the way, the clue, do you talk to someone on an intercom or is it more sophisticated than that?
In the first three games, you press it and someone comes in.
And just kind of points you in the right direction?
Yes.
Okay.
Vaguely,
yeah.
Kind of gives you a
That hint. Makes sense though, seeing as it seems like you could go in many different directions.
Yeah. You have to kind of brief them on what happened, where you're at, and then they give you a brief hint and then leave, right?
Okay.
Kind of an immersion breaker. Unfortunately.
But I guess that's the nature of it.
That's like, the nature of it, and you're gonna get fucking
stuck.
So did
they fix that for this?
Especially on the max difficulty 5% solve rate one.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
This one, it was a total fix. Because...
Nice, awesome.
Get
yeah.
rid of your button, you have a walkie-talkie, and you have to radio into HQ, and sometimes they can help you, sometimes they can't.
This is HQ.
Interesting.
Right? So you're codec calling.
So there are bits where there's information and there are bits where there just isn't, and
there's
you can
nothing.
Keep doing it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And, like...
How do I get through this fucking laser hallway? I don't go through... Do it!
Ask Catherine Zeta-Jones.
And I mean, and I'm just... Here's the one thing I'm going to throw out. Of course, you get to the final room.
Yeah.
HQ, come in. HQ, HQ's dead.
Yeah.
You're on your own.
Yeah. And they're sitting in the control room. Hee hee.
So,
oh, they're in the final room.
Do they have cameras to look in?
Everywhere.
I assume so, yeah.
They know exactly what you're up to.
It must be fun to watch the first few times. They'll never defeat the knife trap.
Yeah, like, and the thing is, because...
Fire the guns now.
Acid bath.
Well, because we got to know, like, the guys and stuff. Like, the dude that's there, like, and he knows us, he's like, oh, yeah, watching you guys see it, do it and stuff. Like, it gives me ideas of how to, like...
Yeah, of course.
Customize things, change things and whatnot. And the point of this experience, too, is that, like, depending on how many people you go with, it'll change... The experience.
Yeah, it'll change the dynamic a lot.
You'll lay it out differently, you know? Mm. So, escape rooms are fucking fun. If you haven't tried one, look them up.
What's the recommended number of people to go with?
For this one, it's 5.
Okay.
So, a maze, most of the rooms, there's 4 rooms there. 3 of them take up to 5 people. 1 of them takes, like, 3.
Because I was going to say, I would want to go with just my girlfriend.
Yeah, you can do that, but it'll be fucking hard.
Whatever, fuck.
I'll
double book a room.
Yeah, you can go.
double book a room?
You can go with 2 people if you feel like it, but it is hard.
I'll try the easy one.
The
first.
More brains you throw at it, the easier it becomes.
Because some puzzles require like 2 people to solve.
Yeah,
and no one else is looking at anything else
like,
in the room at that
like
time.
Like play charades, but your team is like one person. It's super hard.
We managed to solve it with 3 minutes left to go on the clock this time. So
cool.
That's
fucking
great. Yeah.
Good job.
In this like escape game craze that I got myself into, I found out that there's a website and I think it's called the Escape Game Directory. And it's just like, escaperoomdirectory.com. And
here's a bunch of different places you can go to.
And here's a bunch of different places all around the world.
Yeah.
Any
yeah.
city.
Here's Jimmy's basement.
And you can go check it out whenever necessary.
Oh, man, what a scam. Oh,
you'll
man.
Never escape.
You can go check it out.
He locked the door.
Difficulty double black diamond. No user reviews.
Here's one where they just throw you out of a helicopter with a spoon.
And go.
Good luck.
Good luck.
You have 2 minutes.
I can't guarantee the quality of
every
escape room here.
But
though
this...
they do have reviews, but I will say that Amaze in Montreal is fantastic.
Mm. Cool. That's at the old port, right?
No. That's down the street.
I thought it was at the old port for some reason.
There's a different one.
Because when I think warehouses...
In the summer, there is a different one at the old port.
Okay, yeah.
Labyrinth.
Yeah.
Which is nowhere near anywhere close to this.
No, it's a totally different idea.
Yeah, that one was tougher for you.
That one was bullshit.
Because it was all physical stuff.
Yeah.
I can never be that.
So yeah, it's the one that's, you know, around.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's me. So
the French game show is called Les Clés de Fort Boyard.
Wow.
And it is currently airing still. There's 31 different versions of that show. And they're
Season
not subtitled
31.
Or translated. Different countries just show up and do similar game shows inside it.
That's awesome.
It was Keys they were trying to get that thing.
Keys.
And when I pulled it up, you know what I found a picture of?
What?
I found a picture of what that thing is. It's where the tigers are going to get released.
Yeah, because...
That's your time limit to get underneath the thing, because when the timer runs out, they'll release tigers
into
the room.
So the most trained, lax baby and tigers. Busted down baby tigers like come in and lazily paw at you.
Did you say fort? Because no one would understand if you said faw.
Yeah, it's fort. Yeah. Fort Boyard.
That means okay. Fort.
Boyard.
It's
B-O-Y-A-R-D.
It looks like the island in Skyfall. You know, they go to that island that that Silva has and he just owns it and it's completely deserted. It looks like that.
It's like a crystal maze fucking endurance strength. Oh, it's fucking awesome.
Yeah,
French just drops letters sometimes. It happens.
Whenever they want.
There's no need, really.
Where's my ash? It's Muir. Oh.
Yeah.
So, why don't we start this week's news out?
With good news?
Well, I'd say so.
Okay.
But I got a little bit sad, though.
Oh.
There's this awesome video that Yoko Taro made. Have you seen it?
No. I saw it, and it made me sad probably for the exact same reason.
Liam knows exactly
I know it, and dude, the 100%. Feeling I got, did you get the same
100%.
Feeling? 100%. So do you remember that video of that German guy getting somewhat excited for Nier?
No.
Automata?
So no. There was a video of someone freaking out over Nier.
He gets somewhat excited, yeah.
Like 2 degrees lower than Liam did.
Okay.
All right.
And there's a video of him. That's
that
the important
video blew
bit.
Up and it kind of, you know, it went a little bit viral. And Yoko Taro and the Nier Automata team released a video of them reacting to watching that German kid freaking out over the Nier Automata video.
And then?
And then it reveals that, like, they were all... He was there, and he met the guy, and they're in Germany, and he was freaking out to him in real life. So, why was this a sad occasion, Liam?
Because I think I did it better.
And if that was on camera...
And, Wooly, I'm glad to see you saw it and also 100%. Thought that we did it
and
better.
If that was on camera... Yoko Taro might have come to Montreal instead. Maybe. I don't know what the circumstances are for those two meeting.
But, like, maybe he I saw that and I was just like, oh,
but
no.
The problem is that Liam's reaction would be buried in a 3-hour thing and his clip is isolated, I assume.
It would get dug out.
As was the German kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They were doing a let's watch of the whole stream.
Oh, there you go.
And then they isolated that clip.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
And that was a German thing in another language.
In Germanian.
You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that made me a bit sad,
I'm glad you got sad and I wasn't just being selfish about that.
No. It was
a bit presumptive.
But it's like,
no, that's why I felt like I wasn't going to bring it up for anything.
You should still feel that way.
No, the fact that they made this reaction video, and it's on the official Square Enix channel for Square Enix UK for the Nier video, is like, he loved this moment, and he's like, he loves the fact that this kid reacted and freaked out and stuff, and like, clearly, you know, went to go meet him and stuff, and it's like, man, Liam was on the ground, like,
dead.
Oh my god!
Yeah.
You turned into Nintendo 64
kid. Yeah.
I mean, I would have.
And it's, and I don't think there's anything else that'll ever, like, achieve.
No, there'll never be anything ever
Nothing
again
in life.
My,
is
in
that
life.
Exciting.
No.
So.
You win the bet.
That was truly larger
Maybe
than
that
life.
Would be
like,
it.
Fuck.
I think if you won the bet.
But you know what? At the same time, the fact that we can just big it up in story form forever.
Yeah.
You know, the next time we tell it, it's going to be a 12 and then
it's
a 13.
Exactly.
A noble retelling and begins the smallest lie.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good line.
Yeah.
Did you make that?
I did.
Good.
Live like a windrammer as you fuck.
And begin that shit.
And trust your noble soul in your sword.
Just shine.
Hey, hey. Speaking of shiny things.
Nice.
Speaking of shiny things that never lose their luster.
Shiny Ponyta.
I know what this is.
I know what this is.
Platinum Turtles, baby.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I feel like this is the most unsurprising thing ever.
Shouldn't this be released next week?
Yes.
Like, it's embarrassing.
The game's weird non-announcement.
This game and the XCOM port on Vita are, like, two of the worst-kept secrets in the world.
I didn't even know
because,
that was a thing.
Because, like, achievement lists are up, trophy lists are up, ratings boards, leaks of pictures. Like, the games are laying out in front of us, but they're both unannounced.
Well, let's talk about those screenshots.
It's crazy. Looks screenshots good. Look great.
It's not a video.
Nope.
Yeah. And all four turtles are in a shot, meaning, at least in some fashion, they're all controllable. Yeah.
They're fighting together. Maybe means co-op?
Yeah, it's in the achievements, yeah. And there is, in the achievements, a trophy or achievement for, again, picking the same character, I think it was 50 times. It was called I Like the Green One. So yeah, like character selection works. Like,
and they're fighting Bebop.
There's people.
Leonardo's swords were glowing.
Yeah, I assume that's because they have a similar weapon system to Transformers.
Oh my god, you're super.
Because why else would it be sparkly?
Yeah, 100%.
Like loot and stuff.
Pickups,
yeah,
totally. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, Matt and I are having the same reaction to that.
I think it's fine for Transformers, but the Turtles' weapons are so iconic and stay.
I don't know.
I felt that system brought
me down in Transformers.
I grew to like it because of the variety.
I liked it a lot because when you started getting to the busted stuff, you were like, oh, yeah.
I got a busted thing in the first level.
Yeah, but the good busted stuff, I mean.
But imagine if Mikey has his nunchucks, but you could also get the three-pronged staff.
No.
Right? Or you could also, like, get the chain and sickle that he had for a little while.
No, I...
Like,
I,
you can just mix it up for some
fun. I want them to have stats.
I don't see how it's a bad thing.
I just want four platinum character action guys.
Because I don't want to get another weapon drop that breaks the entire game for me.
For Transformers, everyone has generic blasters, and, you know, Prime has his, kind of his own weapons, and some of them have their own weapons. But, like, story justification, character justification, I think it's fine for Transformers. But, like, the Turtles, yeah, like Leonardo had... Michelangelo had a weird weapon mostly because the UK was like, didn't want him to have.
Well, I mean, I don't think you'll be able to put a katana on Michelangelo.
Of course not. I don't think that'll be the case. But for a video game and the sake of fun, I think it would be cool to have tons of different of the same types, varieties of the same, like, you know, class of like pole arms and short blades, you know, and whatnot.
I'm keen on it, and Wooly's keen on it. Lots of people in the world are keen on it, but. Your opinion, Pat, has not gone unexpressed by a lot of people. Like, you're not the only one who doesn't like the loot in Transformers, so I get what you're saying.
I want my character action game characters to have, like, defined...
All right, what if it was as simple as purchasing the different weapon?
How many of them are there? Are there a million? Are there five?
The same amount as Bayonetta.
I think it depends. I think it depends how the game is set up.
I'm not talking about, like, different weapon types per character. I'm talking
He's
about...
He's saying he doesn't like getting the
like
plus
getting
three
the
hammer.
Plus three dark sword, and then...
Instead of the plus two version. Yeah, okay.
I want it to be
the
sword.
Dark sword, yes.
No, I want it to be sword, nunchucks,
bow,
and maybe, you know, a bunch of other weapons, but I don't want them to have complicated loot feeding mechanics assigned to them that, like... Remember, I played Transformers, I got a hammer in the first level that was better than every other weapon I got in the entire game, and it cakewalked the entire game for me. Like, I don't want that in a non-loot game. A loot game is based around that.
The problem is that for Turtles, we don't know what it actually is. If it's a single-player game, or it's a single-player mode, and like a lot of Turtles games in the past, the Turtles are delegated to D-pad. You select left and right and up and down for Leonardo, Michelangelo, whatever. And then you have distinctly four different styles and four different weapons. If that's the single player, that's fine. They can unlock each individual thing. But if it's just the single players, you can only pick Leonardo at the start or whoever, then yeah, I would like weapon variety.
Let me look at the achievements list again, because I don't remember whether they talked about loot.
So there's a lot of different ways that like you could improve or de-randomize, you know, what you're describing. Because I hear what you're saying, and like the fact
you can never really protect from getting an OP weapon in a game that doesn't have a leveling system.
But that's why I was saying de-randomize the pickup, right?
Yeah.
Make it so that it's a purchasable thing.
I mean,
from a store.
I was just talking like thumbs up for like 10 minutes or whatever about Dragon's Dogma, which has character action style gameplay, and you can get a fire sword, you can get an upgraded thing, but like it's an RPG, and even like none of those items have randomized stats or get fed to one another for whatever.
No, I'm okay with like. There being a fire sword, an ice sword, an electric sword.
There's no mention of loot or upgrading weapons in the achievements. Who knows whether that's indicative of the final game, but just giving you a heads up.
Yeah, I mean, basically, it would amount to, like, removing crafting, you know?
Yeah, no, I thought the crafting shit in that game, like, brought it down like crazy.
But anyway, we got a couple screenshots, and that's pretty much it.
I don't know if you've read the achievements or not.
I didn't.
The only spoilers are Bebop and Rocksteady are in the game, so.
Holy shit!
Yeah,
damn.
I know. I actually, like, have, like, a theory about the game based on the achievements.
What?
I think it's going to take place... This is a complete guess, just based on the achievements. I think it's going to take place in a small open world.
A lot of people
Than like level-based
I saw that
stuff.
Thing in the Destructoid article saying it would, like, it seems like it's leaning towards some type of, like, little sandbox.
Okay, so
that'd
other people
cool.
have said this too, yeah.
I think so.
Because I'm looking at, there's achievements that are like, traverse a total of 150 miles, and like...
Okay, no, that's an open world.
And like, complete X achievement multiple, or complete X a thing multiple times, like transport
See,
bags
I
of money 30
it.
Times.
I think it's going to take place in the open world of Tony Hawk 5.
That'd be sick.
I
but we saw screenshots, so that's deconfirmed.
I think it would be really cool if actually it's more of a...
It'd be nice if Tony Hawk were a guest character.
A get a power, access a new area type.
You know what this is?
Metroid
style. This is
thing.
The turtle-based mm-hmm. sequel to Final Fight Streetwise that you always wanted.
Here's what you got. You got the city, and then you have a full sewer system underneath that city, and you're good to go.
That'd be sick. No, that'd be sick, for sure.
I just wish we marketing deemed us worthy to
okay Matt, you gotta realize they're not deeming you worthy, and that really bothers me that you'd say that, because all we've gotten are leaks.
Well,
like
screenshots were not
they're
official.
They're gonna tell you and they're probably more unhappy than you are that
well,
you know about it.
What
sure,
the,
but
the leak...
like what's the hold up when everyone in the world knows about it?
Because maybe they
game.
Have a date. Maybe they're going to be at E3. Maybe they have a plan. You know?
Worthiness notwithstanding, the frustration does come from the same place. And I'm...
No, it's pretty specifically...
I'm super sick that everyone pretends that their leaks didn't happen. Like...
Well, because it works. Because we're... Ultimately, we are the 1%.
Oh, no.
And, like, the fact that we know doesn't mean the mass... market knows, because they don't.
I'm never going to attack. You know? I'm never going to attack a production schedule, because it exists. They make them for a reason, and like a lot of the time, if you show something too early or before it's ready, or and so on, you get the Mighty Number 9 problem, where you guys are sick of hearing about it because you heard about it too early.
Yeah, but the game is pretty much like if you have achievements done, that your game is. Near done, so I don't understand.
But that's not always a given.
That's not always a given.
You submit them like
more often than not.
To pull back the curtain, I mean, you submit your achievements when you're getting ready for your release candidate. But anything could be happening behind the scenes. You know,
they could be canceling the game.
This game.
If these were official screenshots, I'd have a pretty different tone.
Yeah, no, exactly. But no, these are leaked as well.
The fact that everything has been leaked, I'm like, okay, no wait, it's not even a real thing yet.
Like the game might be scheduled to come out in fucking November. You know
but
I mean?
Here's
like,
the other thing that here's the other thing that's frustrating to me is that this is something I really want to play. And what I'm saying is that if it gets released next month, wow, what a shitty promotion and marketing.
Yeah.
Like that was 1 month of nothing.
But let's see what they do with
because,
it.
Like,
you know
I
what
know,
I mean?
No, because
but right
no,
now I'm frustrated because they're doing nothing
that,
right
no,
now.
No, we can definitely tell that the source of why you're frustrated is I want to play it.
Yeah.
I care and I want to play it.
But like the idea, the notion that you're not worthy is baffling. Like,
it's more just like
I find it weird just putting your head in the sand and like, no, it doesn't exist yet. We're not ready to announce it.
But like, it's not that you're not worthy. Nobody's supposed to know about this.
No one.
Not
worthy.
Even there was no like private event at QuakeCon where everyone in there got to see it and you knew it was in there, you know, like
I guess it's more of just like
you're completely even to everyone.
It's just my frustration with marketing sometimes.
Yeah,
and that,
fair
like,
enough.
Sure.
The cat is out of the bag.
But give them a chance to roll it out. Give them a chance to roll it out.
I don't know. We've been hearing about this for months and months and
months. It's been 2 months.
October.
Hey. What? Hey,
that's only been 2 months.
Well, guess what? It could have been worse.
It could have been worse.
It could have been The Witness.
Yeah,
comes out next week.
Good.
No, that's not worse.
I'm gonna play it.
Jonathan Blow's The Witness.
Witness has been on stage every E3 and every Sony press conference.
I think it was in like
two
ever since.
It's been worked on. It's been in development since 2008.
Uh-huh.
So that's been a long ass time.
Mm-hmm.
And
all the Braid money went right into The Witness.
Well, mm-hmm. I was attempting a transition into The
all
Witness
the Braid money.
Out,
yeah, no.
Just in case you didn't. Know.
I assume that's what you're doing.
No, Witness looks really cool.
Yeah.
Jonathan talking about it said.
So not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday.
It was supposed to be an 8 to 12 hour puzzle game, and then we kept working on it. And now it's 100 hours long,
and we still know next to nothing about it.
But that's what I want.
Yep.
And that's what I think that's what they want too.
I know,
but I mean, but like Like, when did you first find out about Platinum Ninja Turtles? Like, 3 podcasts ago, right?
No.
A bit more than that. Was it October?
It was definitely November.
Sorry, go on, Wooly.
Because the whole thing was that the prevailing rumor was that it was going to show up at Game Awards.
Yeah, so we had the leak that popped up sometime end of the year. And you know what? Compared to 2008, that ain't that bad.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean? Like, Witness has been shown and announced.
But it's still not in our hands. The crux of the whole discussion we were having about Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
You said, oh, it's just screenshots. I want a trailer. And I agree with that. Yeah. Matt was saying he wants to play it.
No, Matt is saying he wants it to be announced.
Because it's not announced to even exist officially in any capacity.
It's the feeling of pretending like nothing's happening when everyone can see that it's happening, so just come out with it. That's what it's about.
I thought it was, I want to play it, I want this to
be out. Well, no, that's what the core, like, that's where caring about it comes from.
Well, because that's what most of the discussion was about.
But the annoyance is like, okay, it's out. We know it's there,
announce it. Well, no, I said the thing about being, putting your head in the sand and just saying, no, no, no. Don't look over here. Like, nothing's happening.
Witness can't be compared to it at all.
They didn't say that, though. You're putting words in their mouth.
Whose mouth? I don't know who's making it.
Well, in any words,
Activision hasn't announced it.
No, but like, it's like the absence of speech isn't no, no, no. Don't look over there.
Ultimately, Pat,
they're just not ready to talk about it.
Ultimately, Pat, and look at this in both situations as waiting for a game you want to play.
Yeah, but that's not what it's about. It's about announcing. It's about pretending that your game is secret when it's not.
Well, no, that I feel like that's a different discussion.
That's the discussion Matt and I are having.
Okay. All right.
Anyway, it's fine.
Was
that just me that read that differently?
I guess, but I think you got the gist of it anyway. So,
I don't know. Yeah. I still don't know anything about The Witness, and
I don't know anything about it either.
But
it's called The Witness.
It.
It's a puzzle. It's a first person puzzle.
Wait, no, that's
game.
Not true. I know one thing that
you know that story of Jonathan Blow sitting at a monitor and just smiling at everybody.
Well,
I think that story's awesome.
But there's the other story. The other story we know that he got mad because people learned that the first puzzles in the game are teaching you gestures that turn out to be a language later on.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, you just told me that. Why'd you tell me that?
Jonathan Blow's mad.
I thought we all.
I didn't.
Nope,
I don't
no
know anything
that.
About
you
it.
Just spoiled all of us.
That's crazy. That's ridiculous. That's like the only other detail.
We're talking about a game which you just said I don't know anything about.
And then I remembered.
And everyone talked about how happy they were that they knew nothing. And then you just said the one thing that you did know that no one else knew and spoiled it for everyone. So thanks.
I didn't know anything. About
I feel like we've discussed this in the past.
You are wrong if you think that.
All right. All right.
Liam laughing into his hand is the correct response.
I'll trade you another bit of info that gives away a little less, but there is voice acting in the game, and he put out a list of voice actors the other week. That's interesting. There's a bunch. There's 7 different voice actors.
I wasn't aware that this second story about The Witness was a secret. I thought that
wasn't
was
a secret.
Thing.
But
it's fine.
But
no, dude, it's
it.
Fine. It's fine. Go
I'm
on.
Like, yeah.
There's no need to hang on it. It's fine.
All right. We also have a trailer.
I hope Platinum does Power Rangers next.
That make a perfect.
No, choice. I always think about what does Activision have. I would still like a Spider-Man game.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, you're right.
And I'm just thinking about realistically what Platinum. Oh, what
Spider
Activision Gwen, has.
Come on, video game it.
There's no way they'll do that. But you know what? A Spider-Man Shattered Dimensions 2, and then have Spider-Gwen part of it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Trailer 4.
Shadow Moses, the not yet canceled fan remake.
This just in, canceled.
I canceled it. It was me. I called Konami and told them to help cancel it.
This is on Unreal 4, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Some Unreal version.
Some permutation of that. Yeah.
Can't cancel it fast enough.
Do you know where the team's based?
Probably not in America.
I would. I certainly hope so.
Hopefully in Sealand.
Yeah. Well, like what? What
or
other
Sweden or some shit?
What countries have no copyright laws? Like Iran,
Russia.
So move quickly.
And I believe this is the one
you can still get out.
I think this is the one that contacted Hader about doing some work for them.
Oh yeah, okay.
Which shout outs to him for having a fucking excellent tweet.
Sick burn. Sick what burn, did he say? Mr. David Hayter.
20, go.
It was a link to an article saying that 24 would be rebooted, but without Kiefer Sutherland.
Oh, I saw that.
As Jack Bauer. And he replied to said article. It's like, that's crazy. You could never do a series without your classic main actor.
Well, no, he said, like, that man made the series.
Yeah, that man made the series, yeah. Or whatever. Whatever, sick, like, yeah. Kiefer's getting some, whatever, Kiefer doesn't care, he's rich.
They should have called Kiefer for the MGS one.
Kiefer Sutherland was in to Time to Kill.
Yeah,
he's
got that Keeley
clan
money.
Guy, he was scary in that movie.
He's got that Keeley money now, man, he's good.
Yeah, Mirrors was a big
hit. Does Keeley have Keeley money?
Keeley has Doritos money.
Oh, man. It's delicious and cheesy.
Do, get the money.
Oh, God, he will never live it down, and I feel bad almost at this point.
Yeah, like, it's crazy how much he's publicly apologized for it, but even I'm like, nah, man, Doritos
it's
Pope.
It's still funny, and that's why it's
oh,
not
I don't think of it in a mean way.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I just think it's a hilarious
image. That
image
that's what I mean.
But to him, it's like, it probably feels like an attack every time.
The race war starts again.
Sometimes you gotta wear it. Just wear it proudly.
So yeah,
Doritos wants to give me $100,000. I'll shill the fuck out of them right now.
Yeah,
right now.
Plus,
remember
by
that
Doritos
are delicious.
I actually really like Doritos. I think they're delicious.
Would you do a Doritos?
And that you should have them with every meal.
Would you do a Doritos unboxing video?
Yeah, maybe.
With they have the unboxing, and it's a limited edition Doritos bag with a can of Mountain Dew with it.
I've never had Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew
ever.
Well.
I could sure do
you just
with a
said
Mountain
that you
Dew
would.
Right
so if
wait,
you're
did
all,
I? Yeah. I remember saying
you just
that I,
said that. So
no,
if you're
on,
all on board,
hold on. I remember saying that I've never had Mountain Dew before on camera, and I think I was going to drink a Mountain Dew right afterwards, but I forget.
Yeah. You died.
You ever have Mellow Yellow?
Nah.
Yeah,
I had that.
It's a very very similar.
It's the old formula before they changed it.
Is it actually the same?
Yellow?
Yeah. Okay. Because I thought it was, but I didn't.
It's what Mountain Dew used to taste like.
The problem
like.
With Doritos
well, yeah,
is that despite
perfect,
its
then.
Disparaging stereotype, a nacho cheese Dorito is a delicious chip.
There it is.
It is.
It's quite good.
Here, Pat, have a nacho cheese Dorito.
It is a delicious chip for roughly 1/3 of the bag.
I think Doritos are best used as a garnish.
Yeah?
Crushed and put into something.
Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Neat.
Keeley, that's okay. That image is hilarious, though.
It's quite funny.
Speaking of things getting crushed, that fucking River City Ransom Underground combo video is amazing.
It is. I saw it. It's fucking...
River City Ransom, you say?
River City Ransom Underground. They released a promotional video... And it's a combo video, and it's got Mega Ran.
Remember,
write this shit down.
This is a canon, like, officially licensed a River City Ransom game that is more advanced and better than any River City Ransom game has any right
to
be.
With that Arc System Works logo in the front.
Yeah.
And fucking, like I said, Mega Ran, like, killing it on the ones and twos in the back.
That thing's been in development for a while, but it seems like it's getting close. To releasing. I'd really want
good.
To play
I'm
that.
Writing that shit down. I need to
know. Advanced beat-em-up combos.
I need to go catch up on Mega Man.
But they're cute.
On the level
they're Kunio.
Of Japanese AVP arcade.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's
awesome.
That's
a good comparison.
That's a good bar right there.
Yeah. Looking forward to that.
Well, Lee, how long have we been recording the podcast for?
17 years.
45.
I have no idea. It's so confusing.
We did two breaks.
Because I looked over and I was like... I had a weird, like, moment in my chest where I was like, have we been recording for 40 minutes?
That's a heart attack.
We did the first break.
Yeah.
We did the second break.
Yeah.
And now we did 45.
Those breaks were longer than they should have been. We
Final
watched movie
break.
Trailers during them.
Wow. Yeah. We watched movies trailers for hours.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Can't believe you didn't know about Be So No Nation.
We had to dump ass. What are we supposed to do?
I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Just hold it in.
Well, I'm trying to not throw the ass dumper under the bus.
Very nice.
I'll never have to stop anything. Just don't go.
We
just never go again.
Yeah. So we got another piece of
that'd be a
superpower. lot of noise coming out from Yandere Dev.
I think I'm going to see a lot of noise made of Wet Metal Wolf right now.
Oh, why now? So much noise.
This is like Willie's favorite thing recently.
Why now?
It's a blast.
Because of Canadian celebrity live play.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Makes sense. Says From Software.
Yeah.
Yandere Dev just put out a video, and he's basically...
That anyone who hasn't finished everything in Undertale should not watch. I'm talking about the most recent dev video. The Bad Time video?
No, that's not the one I'm talking about.
Okay, I know, but the most recent
one Because the Bad Time video,
channel,
don't watch that shit.
Do not watch that if you do not want Undertale spoiled for you.
Okay, well...
But anyway. You're talking about the name.
Yeah, I'm talking about him discussing that the one thing that he's unhappy with right now is the name of the game, and rightfully so, the word simulator is used for garbage games.
It changed while he was making it. Like, it didn't used to mean that when Yandere Simulator was a concept.
And certainly not when he made that original 4chan thread, mm-hmm. where he brought up the term, you know?
The problem with that is that Simulator is a very good name in which people can easily just go,
there's Farming Simulator, which is real.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And there's Goat Simulator,
then
which
there's
is
everything
jokes.
Else, which is not real.
Yes.
Surgeon and Simulator, which is also jokes.
But it's
Shower With Your Dad Simulator.
It's definitely true that nowadays the using simulator takes a lot of legitimacy away
That's
from
correct.
You. Yeah. Like if a new Hitman were to come out called Assassination Simulator, which
I would
actually
prefer
ironically
that.
This game's very similar to Hitman, but
it is Hitman.
It effectively, yeah.
But cooler.
But, like, yeah, I definitely think he should,
the main character
he should
has
step
more personality.
Far away
so,
from the word
you know,
simulator,
he
I
goes
feel.
Into detail in his video. It's like, hey, I thought a lot, because Yandere doesn't exist in English. It's not. It's a portmanteau of two Japanese words. That shit doesn't exist. That's why you say Yandere in English and other languages.
Now, he's rightfully concerned that, like, people might not know how to find it if he drops the word entirely.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, I don't know if you should, until he introduced
the
his
new
proposition
name.
For the new name.
The new name.
Is Lovesick.
Which is perfect.
Beyond perfect.
Which is the best.
Like, it's like, drop everything immediately.
And the people voting in that poll overwhelmingly agree.
It's an amazing name change.
I think it should be Lovesick Yandere Simulator
That's
2.
Fine, too.
That's fine. That's fine,
just
too.
For the sake of people searching for it.
But calling it Lovesick, Lovesick is the perfect.
Lovesick.
And he came there, he created Yandere in English.
Yeah.
And it's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And it even means the same thing under a certain context.
Yeah.
Under a certain
you gotta
context.
You gotta twist it, but that's what makes
From
it interesting.
From a certain angle, it looks
But
about
that's
the
what
same.
Makes it
yeah,
interesting
yeah.
is the fact that you have to twist your head to make that mm-hmm. make the word make sense.
But I'll never call her Lovesick Chan.
No.
I will.
I'm excited for her to get a name.
Well, until he changes his name to Lovesick Dev, which he's not.
Yeah.
He shouldn't.
Should her name be Yandere?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Should that be her name?
That's
Yandere.
J-A-N.
Chan.
Yeah, no, I like that he's conscious of it, because I remember when we were talking about, what was it, last week, whether he should go to the Kickstarter route sooner rather than later. I was talking with my girlfriend about it, and, like, both of us were specifically talking about the simulator word in there. We were like, oh.
Hey, guess what? A lovesick Kickstarter would probably do better than a Yandere simulator Kickstarter.
Well, I think he'd do well either way.
Absolutely.
It's just the legitimacy... with which people cheat
I'd back
the title,
that significantly
you know, so.
Right now if it came out.
It's gonna.
That game looks like fucking
well,
awesome.
I mean, you know, it's something that I didn't
Love
even
it.
Think about, but like, yeah, he caught that and like called it out right away.
A dev update about the murder animations. But oh, I love watching those development
the
updates.
The only thing is that like, there's moments like this where it's like, you should just change it. Like, don't even ask.
Yeah.
So I got really worried.
I respect him asking. That's very, like, forthright and, I guess, bold in a way, because he's willing to take that risk on his game.
Every step he takes, he asks.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm very worried that the process of asking people whether or not they like Lovesick has caused Lovesick to become trademark sniped by someone else.
I when he was discussing the trademark part of it, I'm like, please tell me he did it before putting this video
up. And then he'll release it if, you know. If
he'll be like, hey guys, I couldn't get Lovesick. It got
that
trademarked.
That would be the
bad.
Worst.
I put the idea out
Saban
there.
Saban Brands
ask you
has
first,
trademarked
and then
Lovesick.
I didn't do it. Yeah. Haim Saban.
Yeah. Getting in there. He knows where the money's
Saban,
at.
Saban, you bitch.
Haim Saban's Yandere Simulator.
Oh my god, I don't like that.
I don't like it
You
either.
Can add that to anything, like Haim Saban's Platinum Games, and it just makes it worse.
It does.
He has a good logo, but fuck. Haim Saban's Pacific Rim 2.
Stop talking about it, it hurts.
Which Haim Saban's Patrick's Apartment.
Oh.
Your apartment is branded by Haim Saban.
God.
And he comes over for dinner every month.
Haim Saban's Air. I want to breathe.
I don't want to breathe it.
All right, we've driven it. We put this joke into the dirt. All right, what's next?
Into the dirt.
Damon Saban's dirt.
What is not in the dirt is Danganronpa 1 coming out in February. Danganronpa 2 was also confirmed for Steam, and we don't have a date on that yet.
That was in the list, I believe. I didn't memorize it, but I believe it was in the list. So let's let them release the first, I guess.
Whoa, Steam release.
If you've been looking for an opportunity, here it comes.
Now's your moment. Go play it.
Coming alongside, also in February release, released lists, excuse me, bah, English.
Sorry.
Tough.
Nitro Plus Blasters with a Z.
Yeah.
The fighting game that I believe we talked about at least once.
Yeah.
But it's a fighting game featuring various Nitro Plus visual novel characters fighting. Some of them
are like outside visual novels.
Like
too,
Saber
yeah.
is in it.
Yeah.
And
the ones you would probably know
Sonico.
The ones you would probably know are Saber, Super Sonico,
Saya.
And Saya from Song of Saya.
Uh-huh.
Outside of that, you start getting way more niche.
Yeah, outside of that, it's really niche.
No. Like you have. Let's see. You have.
I ran down the list and recognized a couple.
You have Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You have Super Smash Brothers. You have J-Star's Victory Versus. You have
DGB.
Dengeki Bunko Fighting Climax. You have Aquapaza. And then you have
and then Super you have Fighter.
Nitro Plus Blasters.
I don't.
Made by the developers of Arcana Heart.
I
Examu.
Don't know how to react to you saying the statement. It's pretty niche. The only characters you would know, and then list off characters I have never heard of.
Okay.
Like, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah. All right, let's
let's
bring it back down to
Earth. It's by Examu. It's the Arcana Heart guys.
The guys who made Arcana Heart are making this game, and Arcana
it's
Heart
got,
character is going to be.
It's got 90%
as well.
Less. Yeah, okay. I know Heart. The main character Heart, appears in it. There's a couple DLC characters too. Homura from Senran Kagura is appearing.
I saw that,
and I forget the third one. It was I know Heart, Homura, and someone else
from something
who is more well known because she's a guest character.
Yeah.
It's Meat Boy.
Captain Video.
Commander Video.
Ah, well, I'm a shit.
You are.
Captain's better than the Commander.
No, but Commander Video sounds cooler than Captain Video.
You're right.
Somehow.
I'll tell you what's not a shit.
Rezman?
Oh, wait, it's just those two. Rezman?
Yeah.
What's not a shit is... hey, you know what? Fuck it. If you're in Japan...
Yeah.
And you're going to be in Japan on February 12th, 13th or 14th.
That's Valentine's Day, that last one.
Get your ass out to an arcade so you can play as Akuma in Tekken 7.
Ooh.
Location tests.
Nice.
And then write back to us and tell us how sick it was.
You know what I love about location tests?
It
recreates that weird ghetto feeling of watching cell phone videos of fighting games.
Yeah, that's true.
Those were the good old days.
Because that's what you get. But now cell phones have high-def cameras.
Now the arcade machine itself has a high-def stream.
Upload to YouTube?
Man,
yes, no?
Straight through the fucking machine.
I still remembered the excitement and subsequent disappointment that will never be matched. When somebody sent me check it out. It's cell phone footage of the last Street Fighter 4 character.
Yeah.
And you got like a single frame of what Rufus looks like.
We talk about it every time.
But that's enough.
And
but
never forget the Madman's Cafe.
The excitement to vomit ratio was never higher.
Yeah, we went through that recently with Feng, so I can understand your frustration.
The only place to go.
No.
We got a couple PSAs for everybody.
Okay.
Oh,
what's that?
We got a couple PSAs.
We got some pissas.
First one is if you all jump on Groupon, you can currently get a Xbox Gold for $40, which is pretty solid.
As opposed to?
As opposed to like 60 or so.
Okay, that's a deal.
If you're
isn't it 50? Am I crazy?
I thought it was 59.
Oh, okay, maybe I'm crazy. I know PS Plus is 50, so maybe I'm just
Groupon?
Maybe I'm just mixing that up.
Is that
up.
Like a coupon that you all have to do at the same time?
Yeah.
That's the idea. They can buy them in bulk because thousands of people are buying it all at the same time.
Oh,
so they rotate products.
So it's like a union for buying stuff.
Yeah, it's actually really useful. It's a
similar concept,
okay. You often find like really good deals for restaurants and things like that.
Okay.
Yeah. So
like one of the examples I remember because it was recent enough was like $150 Vita if 2,000 people bought one, which
it's
they did.
Just,
it got
just
killed,
sounds
so
shitty and douchey. Like I got a Groupon.
Well, nobody calls it that. Oh, but okay. Also, that's what the site's called. Like, yeah.
It's only weird to you because you don't know the word, but I've been hearing it for years, so it just sounds normal
I've
to
been
me.
Hearing it for years. I just didn't know what it was. Oh, okay. I always thought it was a stupid thing for douches.
Right, I see.
But now that I hear that it actually has a use, it's I just think the name is stupid. Useful.
Yeah, I think Twitter's a dumb name, too. Yeah.
Twitter's okay.
I hate it.
It's
That's why you can switch over to Natter. You heard of Natter?
Yeah.
Same thing as Twitter, but you only get three words.
Okay, but Twitter has tweets.
That's three words.
Does Natter have nats?
That's yeah. three words, too.
I'm not even sure if what he's saying is true, so you should probably just forge on
ahead. Man, if Twitter actually goes ahead with that 1,000-character limit thing, that shit is over.
Yeah.
PSA number two. on behalf of the Super Best Friend cast, we want to make sure everyone out there stays safe in this time when the Cross Boring 2 demo will be coming out on January 26th.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
I want everyone check in. Make sure you let us know where you are. We want to make sure that you all get home.
Please be careful. If you come in contact with it, there's a high liability you will be tricked.
Yeah.
For those who are hearing this for the first time, this is Project Cross Zone 2, a.k.a. Cross Boring on this podcast. Please do not fall for it
this time.
Do not let your friends fall for it or your children or your parents.
The reason we're so strongly advocating this is because we knew better multiple times and still got super excited for Crossboring only to have our knowing better senses come back on us and be like, you guys are it. What did you expect?
And even the trailers for the second one. We're still watching some of them.
You say this in the past tense as if we're out of the woods, Pat.
If you're walking down the street,
I'm out of the woods,
and a strange man opens up a van and says, "Do you want this Axl Stone sprite?" Say no and walk away.
Dude,
it's not worth it,
dude. The amount of times I watched that until I said, "Okay,
I'm bored.
I can go on with my." Well, it's fucking Axl from Streets of Rage. Like, I can't handle that. New sprites for him. Holy shit!
I just feel like if any employee from Namco is hanging out near a van and saying, "Do you want to see this sprite?" you should calmly say no and ask for a parent or guardian to bring you
home.
Yes,
definitely. You need an adult if you want to handle these sprites.
Is a dangerous time. All
this is not a conversation we ever wanted to have.
No, of course not.
But we gotta.
We pushed for this game to get released in the West.
We have a responsibility to our listeners to warn them about what's coming.
Super Robot Wars is not for you.
The playable demo drops on January 26th.
Do not be fooled.
Believe their lies.
I might pick it up.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll try the demo and see what happens.
Just play it until it happens again.
I'll try the demo and see if it's any good.
God.
And lastly,
fuck, if the game was just like 1/10 of the length, it would be great. If it was 5 hours long, that game would be great.
Oh, if it was 5 hours and everything was packed in,
it'd be so good.
My fire is gone for this.
Yeah.
It's
no.
I might pick it up.
And lastly, on behalf of Mistwalker, the Gooch needs monster art and he needs it now.
Yeah. I hope it's for a console game.
No.
Is this for...
What are you talking about? It is. They said it was.
Which game?
I just don't believe
it. We don't know the project.
Cool.
But we know that Mistwalker is hiring artists and monster designers for a new large project.
Nice. Cool. I hope it's a console game.
We don't know.
No, of course. Yeah, I hope it is.
I can't wait for final narrative.
Yeah.
No, not final narrative. So good. Ending narrative? No.
No, it's all right.
Okay, I'm going to segue this into another thing that happened this
Ending
week.
Ending daydream?
Ultimates is also a way of saying final if you're looking for one. Anyway.
So I think I saw a headline that was Sony trademarks VRPG or something to that end. And it's like, oh man, a VR RPG by Mistwalker? That might be pretty good, but I don't know.
Or bad.
This is wild guess territory.
See, that's a huge wild guess. That sounds awesome, but I
don't
believe we're
anywhere
close to that world.
I don't think they're linked. Just the idea of Mistwalker working on a console project and Sony trademarking VRPG. I was like, oh, if only those two could touch.
Yeah, that's a shard of crystal way many dimensions away from ours.
Something I know is that Mistwalker
is a strong name.
Isn't
it? Like, Gooch has said recently, he's like, I'm really excited to do more surfing games.
Yeah, I want to do a ballet game.
And I'm like,
That sounds fun.
I don't want to say anything because it's what he wants to
do. The dude's like 78 years old or whatever. Let him be tired.
Someone has already taken the ballet game and is fucking destroying it right now. You've seen the trailer for Bound?
Yeah. No.
It's fucking awesome. You want a game with ballet animations? I played it at PSX. No. This main character...
Oh, he's only 53. No, you're right.
Incredible animation, all based on
ballet. He owes us another game.
Interesting.
You should check it out. It's called Bound.
I want Black Swan, a Telltale game series.
Black Swan.
Yes, Black Swan, a Telltale game series.
Wouldn't you prefer that the Life is Strange people make it?
Yes, I would prefer that greatly.
Don't nod? Sure.
Yeah.
Mila Kunis will remember that.
Now go back in time so you can make out with Mila Kunis again.
She will remember that she once had a career.
She will wash her mouth out and then remember that again.
Mila Kunis will remember Jupiter Ascending.
I don't remember that. Is that a movie?
There's too many things going on right now.
I'm
just going to push forward.
Hey, man. What's next on the whatever?
We had a meeting after a long time. I'm with Tokyo Jungle's main members, director Kataoka and Sugano.
Yeah.
We want to make something.
Tokyo Jungle is the best game that I have put the least time into in my life.
Right.
It's a really good game.
We had a meeting. We want to make something.
I saw the headlines buzzing with people saying teases of Tokyo Jungle 2.
Doesn't have anything to do with Tokyo Jungle.
But that's what I'm saying.
Did they ever use expressed intent to make something?
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
I would rather
just reading the headlines. I was like, they're not gonna do a second.
I would much prefer something as weird as Tokyo Jungle in a different direction. That's new.
Did you play?
This story down to developer wants to develop.
Go on this PSN and buy Renko Tsukigime's Longest Day. It's produced and directed by Suda51. It's developed by Crispies, who made Tokyo Jungle. It's great. It's about an hour and a half to 2 hours long. It's one of the probably least known really good games of last gen along with Tokyo Jungle.
Okay.
It's really good.
Avoid Flower, Sun, and Rain.
Okay.
Avoid that one.
I remember that podcast. You said you put some
Renko
time
Sumi's longest day.
Longest Day is the bit you have to stick to.
I'm getting worse at this.
Longest Day.
You had Renko, though. You had
it's
Renko
a long
down.
Day. Renko, Longest
you last
Day.
Last Ranker?
No. You mean Ranker from Power Moves?
Oh, I'm listening now.
Quack. Quack, quack.
Hey, why don't you take that whack?
What is this duck shit you guys are doing?
We're being swans.
I'm doing swans, but I'm also going into Amethyst. Like, she slaps her butt. She just goes, womp, womp.
Yeah.
Quack, my nigga.
Yeah, that's what she said.
Is that Black Swan?
There you go. There you go.
Hey.
Liam, why don't you...
You can't talk in charades.
That's true.
You fucking shit.
Liam,
you cheating black shit.
Liam.
The swan, I mean.
Fellow champion, why don't you take this next story and tell us about Rose and the Old Castle of Twilight?
Ah, okay, yeah. So, a little while ago... Okay, let me just say that name. Rose and the Old Castle of Twilight? Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting. It's too long. So these guys...
It has and the of...
Old
so,
Rose
yeah, it's got them all.
Old
it's
quite long. Twilight Castle of.
A while ago, a small team at Nipponichi Software in Japan decided to make something that they defined like an indie game, but like internally.
Okay.
And they made a game called the Firefly Diary, Hotaru no Nikki, for the Vita. And it was pretty good. It was too hard for its own good, but it was distinctly the feel of a 2D side-scrolling puzzle platformer indie game. Mm-hmm. And they did pretty good. And recently they put out a horror game in Japan called Yomawari. I think it translates to Night Watch, and it's a pretty spooky game where you play as a little Japanese girl in a scary place, because that's what Japanese horror is about.
Yep.
And from presumably the same team, it seems like it's a spiritual successor to Firefly Diary, they're making their third game. Wooly, what's the name again?
Rose and the Old Castle of Twilight.
Rose and the Old Castle of Twilight, which... They assured us the girl will not have a good time, which is kind of the spirit of those games. So, very much looking forward to it.
There we go. We've got the No Back Downs Now. Assassin's Creed movie production has officially wrapped.
Wrapped.
You can still back down.
Wow, really?
There's always time to cancel.
You could pull a gem in the holograms.
That's technically
where you cancel it after it comes out.
Yeah.
That one's something.
I'm actually really shocked because I remember this was stuck in limbo for quite a bit, and I'm glad it's coming out because I'll always give a video game movie a shot. And
you'll always give Michael Fassbender a shot.
I'll always give Michael Fassbender a shot. And
in your butt.
And like,
yeah, that's what
he said.
You're
supposed to leave it implied, man.
And Prince of Persia: Sands of Time was not amazing, but it was at least close to what a movie could be. Yeah. Which is a lot more than you can say about a lot of video game adaptations.
I'm kind of surprised. You remember that period between like 2007 and 2012 where every other day there was a movie adaptation of a game rumored?
And then canceled.
It's kind of nice to see
one squeak through.
Because Ubisoft's the only one that's managed, really, with Prince of Persia and now this.
I can't believe World of Warcraft is still on track for being a real thing.
Yeah. That's super on track. Bearing a disaster, it's super on track.
And to those of you who said, Pat, it's not the World of Warcraft movie, it's just called Warcraft. Yeah, but it started as the World of Warcraft movie.
I believe so.
That's what it was called.
I remember it being
And that's what
that.
It actually is.
Sam Raimi was going to make it for a while.
Yeah, and then he was like, nah, this is dumb shit with the shoulder armor. Nah.
So, at this rate, what with Prince of Persia and now Asscreed, we're on track for our Watch Dogs movie. Soon.
Yeah.
Aiden Pierce's iconic hat will show nearby in theaters.
I was just going to say, as long as you don't use Aiden Pierce, you can probably make something in
there's
there.
There's a lot of movies that are already like Watch Dogs. Like
Enemy of the State.
The trailer will be
Taken.
Hackers.
It'll be an amazing trailer until someone pulls out a gun.
Yeah. Did you guys see Enemy of the State with Gene Hackman? I did. That movie's awesome.
I can't wait for the Watch Dogs 2 trailer where they intentionally don't show a gun.
Yeah.
But what I really want is a Watch Dogs 2 trailer where the guy reaches into his coat and pulls out the biggest gun you've ever seen.
And shoots.
Heavy machine gun.
He shoots Aiden Pierce to death.
He pulls out the baton thing that he uses to beat people, and then it turns into a gun.
In Watch Dogs 2, you have to hold the L2 button to not shoot.
Walk down the street with your hand twitching.
Hold L2 to not shoot.
Yeah.
And he's got his finger on the trigger.
It's like Time Crisis.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Watch Dogs 2 is just going like, action.
I remember Ubisoft,
like red shatters on your screen all over the place.
for a long, long time, they were supposed to have a Splinter Cell movie for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And the last time I heard, maybe a year ago, I was like, Tom Hardy was supposed to star.
That was one of the long time rumors.
Isn't that franchise on hiatus?
No, I don't think it has an official.
Maybe they said, I don't know.
Splinter
I'm not
Cell
sure.
Is probably
Blacklist
the
wasn't
most...
even that long ago.
Because they said Prince of Persia was on hiatus.
Blacklist was year two of the Wii U, so it was what, 2013?
14.
A Splinter Cell movie
it was a late port, so.
Is as close to a slam dunk as you could ever have gotten because it's based on a book franchise that's been turned into tons of great movies.
Yeah.
Like,
it just makes sense.
You just mean Tom Clancy.
I mean Tom Clancy.
It's 2 degrees separated from Clancy, yes.
Like,
it's literally taking place right next door.
It exists in the same universe as Clear and Present Danger.
Yeah, but the last two Tom Clancy movies have been like some of the, like, it was Jack Ryan.
Was he dead at the time?
One of them he was not.
Yeah.
Jack Ryan, Shadow Recruit.
Yeah, I remember that one.
And then The Sum of All Fears, which has probably the worst rated game based on it of all time, I think. It's close to
it. If I could, I didn't
know that was a Tom Clancy thing, actually.
Yeah. I know the money's
it's
not
Jack
there.
Ryan.
The money's not there at all, but I'd rather find out what's going on with Dingo over at in the Rainbow Six movie. That'd be cool.
Sure.
Get a Hawks movie.
Plus the whole like fucking like SWAT team, like SWAT guy, international stuff, Sicario.
Yeah, yeah.
A movie just came out like recently made by Michael Bay called 13 Soldiers or something. I saw a huge ad for it.
Every time I look at fucking Rainbow that Six game on roll. My 360 thing, my brain says Tony Clancy's Hawks.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too, actually.
Hawks is...
I'd love to play Tony Clancy's Hawks.
Hawks is so fucking
underground.
Forgettable and nothing. And, oh, man.
Eh.
Here I am, driving everything I can.
Flying.
You have flying all that I can.
You have one competitor in the arcade plane game, and it's Ace Combat, and you completely failed to trump them in any way.
We didn't use Hawk's music for the Scrub Lords intro.
Yeah, that's true.
Nope. So,
man, Ace Combat's the fucking shit. I'm so excited for that new one.
Did you ever play the Skycrawlers?
Nah, I didn't play
that. That's a secret Ace Combat game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's made by the Ace Combat team.
Yeah.
So, if you want an Ace, you need a fix.
And children that don't understand war.
Born into a war they don't fully understand.
I still remember when the 3DS came out, and remember there was that Ace Combat game for the 3DS?
Oh, Assault Horizon Legacy?
Assault Horizon Legacy. It's like, oh, I liked Assault Horizon okay. It's not very good, but I liked it fine. I grabbed Assault Horizon Legacy, and that game is a secret remake of Ace Combat 2.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once I got like 3 or 4 missions in, it was like, oh, this is just Ace Combat 2! Wow. Holy shit, yeah!
Yeah, I didn't know until, like, well after the game came out, I would have gotten, like,
Ace
blindsided,
Combat 2
too.
Ace Combat 2 is the shit!
That's also that remake.
So did you like it?
Yeah!
Cool.
It's made by Access Games.
I had never heard much about it. Like,
it's Ace Combat 2!
Awesome. Good.
Motherfuckers forgot about Aero Fighters Assault.
Of course they did.
Motherfuckers forgot about Crimson Skies.
Crimson Skies was a pretty big shot at that. Yeah,
it was.
Motherfuckers forgot about Macross Blue. I forgot what
it's
called.
There's another one that has a dumb name. There's another
Macross game.
There's another plane fighting combat game, I believe, with the amazing name of Plane Crazy.
I believe. Yeah, that's good.
All right.
Oh, what about Heatseeker? That was a good one.
Oh, fuck Heatseeker.
Heatseeker was a good one.
I've seen that in every bargain bin I've dived deep down to get the juice.
Underneath Hawks.
I don't remember how exactly it worked, but I remember renting it, and the manual was there, and I read somewhere in the game or in the manual where there was a phone number at EA you could call. And
for hot tips.
And you could use a credit card via that phone number to buy cheats.
Boys, let's get down.
And I was reading that, and I was like, that's some fucked shit.
Let's get down to brass tacks. What about the Peanuts Snoopy Red Baron game?
That game is supposed to be
super
good.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I don't care as well.
Are we talking about plane games or not?
It goes in the pile. It goes in the pile.
You know what goes in the pile? Luftrausers.
Luftrausers.
That's a fucking
stellar
game.
Yeah,
wasn't there one released digitally? It was like a
on PS4 and stuff. Just
PS4 and 360.
Those fucking helicopter sections in Horizon.
It's a 2D platformer, but yeah.
No. This was like a 3D
Ace Combat game. They're terrible.
Like think of Hydro Thunder, but with planes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't mean Peanuts games. You mean planes games.
I thought we were talking about Charlie Brown Peanuts games.
I mean, there's Afterburner Climax, which is now super dead.
God.
But that's dead.
I forgot about Afterburner Climax.
Because it's dead now.
I still have mine
downloaded. Yeah, Pat still has it downloaded, too.
I still have it.
I believe you can re-download it.
I'm still saving up for that cabinet.
You can never buy it again. Oh, yeah.
You're never going to get enough for that cabinet.
You're right.
But I can pay a bunch of poor people to come in and move my chair around.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not really jet-based games, but the Rogue Squadron games are pretty kick-ass. Similar in spirit, I guess.
You've said as much before.
Yeah. The second one's the best.
All right.
And last but not least, let's talk about that Clash Action. Microsoft is trying to shake the class action lawsuits that people have been pushing against them for the scratched 360 disc fiasco.
This is still ongoing.
Wow. I mean, I can see why.
The Supreme Court of the United States has decided to hear their case, which is the appeal
to cancel, since they were able to throw out individual versions of
these lawsuits, that the court should then throw out the class action lawsuit.
I see. So just on the grounds that they've been able to get it
this
on
whole,
a minor
this
scale
whole thing
they've
over
been
the
fighting
whole time
for a long ass
has
time.
Been being fought over whether or not the case should even happen. So, it'll be a while. But your fucking console shouldn't scratch its own discs.
No,
that's fucking
sure.
stupid.
Yeah.
I remember when some idiot grabbed my 360 while Street Fighter Vanilla was spinning.
Was it you?
No.
Did it ruin the disc?
It totaled the
disc.
Wow.
Because I only ever had
Thankfully, that was copy 1 of 3.
Yeah, I only ever had like a newer model 360, so I was never in that. But it always seemed terrible to me.
Yeah, I got two discs scratched, but for some reason you could see it on the disc.
But they still kind of worked.
But they still worked.
Okay.
So I got lucky.
Hmm. Yeah, no, I heard a zzzz, and that was that, man.
Oh, man, speaking of that, you know what's fucking scary as shit? you hear a weird click noise coming through your walls, and then none of your outlets fucking work.
It's the robo bugs.
And then you gotta start turning off your fuse breaker, which you don't know how to do. You find out that your arc light.
What?
There's a breaker in my wall that tripped and turned off my outlets, and it freaked me out.
Arc the lad? What?
No, arc vault.
Arc the lad.
Arc light breaker.
That's if you've got a question, you can send it in to superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's
a rough evening.
Superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Your question might sound a little something like this.
I was looking at it the other day.
Hey guys, my name's Max, first time writer, long time listener. I've got a question. I hope you can answer.
Fault breaker.
For American Thanksgiving, I got a Smash Splatoon bundle.
That's a good bundle.
That's a really good
bundle.
Only
problem is it's troublesome because it came with a pre-installed.
It's very Minduxe.
Those games came pre-installed, and he doesn't have enough storage space to download anything else. Does Nintendo release an official hard drive externally? Is there anything else?
No.
Have you found a solution for this problem?
There's no problem because they have a list of hard drives that work
and,
well.
And a shit ton of hard drives that are not on that list work fine.
Yeah, you can get any other external hard drive and you'll be fine.
Just be careful because ones that require high amounts of power, as in ones with two USB cables, I've heard have issues.
No. What it is that you can't you can't use external hard drives or portable hard drives that use exclusively
external,
USB power.
Right.
You need something
one that plugs into
that
the wall.
Plugs into the wall, or you need to get one that you can hook up a Y cable to and use multiple USB ports.
Oh,
on the back
sorry,
of the
then
U.
Yeah, it's the opposite
it's,
of what
it's
I'm
any,
saying.
It's, yeah, that's why I had to stop you. It's,
yeah, yeah.
If you have a portable hard drive, which a lot of us have, that only has one USB cable. That thing doesn't draw enough power out of the Wii U.
So you need a Y cable to get more power.
You need
power.
Either a Y cable or, which is actually better, one that'll plug
I
into the
I believe if you plug that one in, they'll tell you don't.
Yeah.
There's some sort of message saying this is not recommended.
They
I
don't
believe.
Want you to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I forget the make of my hard drive, but the one I use for it, it's never given me a problem.
Well, hard drives go Western Digital if at all possible.
Yeah, Western Digital. That's
I recently switched out all of my hard drives and everything from Seagate to Western Digital.
Do you feel like saying Western Digital a lot like Incredible Technologies? Because I feel like saying Western Digital!
I still can't believe how hard the ball was dropped with the Vita and the Wii U in regards to memory. With the Vita, it was the price.
Ongoing.
With the Vita, it was the price. And
price
with
is roughly twice as much as any normal human would pay for that shit.
Yeah, and even after the price reduction, it's
and
still pretty
Wii
high.
And Wii U is like, how could you ship this fucking
how could
thing
you, how could you ship
32?
A machine, well, the 16 gig one, how could you ship a machine that can't
that
hold certain games?
Whatever?
No, it's 16
it's 16
and 32.
And 32.
Like,
there are certain games that don't fit on that one.
So
let alone
bad.
Like on even on the 32 you can't
like,
fit two games
it, it
if
seems
you pick
like
the
it was
right
made
ones.
With this weird assumption that anyone would play one game and then delete it and then get a new
well,
game
I think it's the assumption that everyone would go physical, which is kind of a baffling one.
Then why'd you put Nintendo, a company so bad at the internet they had to pay a different company to internet for them?
Yeah.
Oh god, seriously, eh?
And that's after they paid a different shitty company called GameSpy to do it for them.
Thought that stopped a long time
ago. Yeah, it
ago.
Did, but that was it the did. Wii and all that.
But now they're working with
Dina.
DNA. Whatever.
We can't pretend that never happened.
No.
Well, like, what if one
hey,
day you wake up and like Microsoft's Xbox Live is being handled by Rovio
That reminds me of that news where NetherRealm is just like, stop all this shit. Let's get GGPO now on
yeah, that's the best news
nice.
Ever.
Why didn't we
on,
talk
on
about
MKX?
It?
I completely missed that.
This was a type of news where I thought I didn't really understand, and then when I really looked at, I'm like, oh wow.
For MKX?
Yeah, MKX. Wow. They're replacing
they're just
their
ripping out the online.
Awesome.
Fucking GGP.
Hey,
that,
you know what?
Good. Awesome.
Yeah. It took a long fucking
are they using
time.
Gigapo
word-
3?
Gigapo 3.
Sick.
It took a long goddamn time, but it's finally hitting people that even if you're not using GGPO, Capcom's going like, we're basically going to make our own GGPO.
Yeah.
Like, rollback netcode is the fucking future.
No matter what you do, the cannons are getting paid.
Yeah,
that's the moral of the story.
I should like to think so.
Get that Street Fighter money and put it in a Rising Thunder. Rollback's even farther.
That doesn't make any sense.
Every successful like copy of MK sold is now funding Rising Thunder.
Yep.
Think about that,
good.
Ed Boon.
Take that, Ed Boon.
And we didn't since I
you
can
nice
clearly
man.
See that
Willy's
nice trying to buy
exactly.
time. I was gonna say we didn't really talk about that combat pack. The actual,
not really.
Like,
I haven't played it.
No, I mean about the trailer, the actual.
Yeah, it looks good.
The character. I don't think it does.
Oh, whatever.
Actually, I think the alien actually looks really off.
I don't care anymore. With,
well, okay, Liam.
I haven't seen it, but I just hope he's working on Shaolin Monks HD.
He's not.
You mean
but the strategy guide on his
you mean
desk.
Shalom and all.
I know.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that the Xenomorph, I agree with Max's video on it. It looks like they took Baraka's model and reskinned it.
Do we know what the three styles are yet?
Oh, there's one that's called a queen, and you lay down eggs, and then they have... you also have strikers. You have other Xenomorph strikers.
Okay, cool.
As the alien, and for Leatherface, I don't fucking know. And it seems for Bo Wright Show, he has like a staff, little staff that he had in like the games that kept fighting games.
That's
going
a pun,
for a couple
about Baracho.
Yeah, it is.
He's drunk guy.
If you have your ear to the ground, you might have caught that the Triborg might not only be three.
Oh, what?
Really?
There might be something else.
It's called Triborg, though.
It's called Triborg.
Does that just mean it's a try-hard Borg?
Did someone actually say that there might be more to it?
There's rumors.
Oh,
there's
rumors are circulating about
that
town.
Maybe, just maybe, there's another.
Like a fourth one.
Like a fourth
Like
cyborg.
A quad bot.
Way to make it labor.
Quadraxis.
Oh.
If that's the pushback against you're trying to make it cooler.
Yeah. He's correct for doing it. But no, there's
totally... I think Triborg's like looks fucking awesome.
Which
actually,
is,
yeah.
But you know, Cyrax, Sector, or Smoke. Maybe Sub-Zero.
But everything in Max's video, I kind of agree with. He's like, Triborg looks the fucking coolest.
Yeah.
Like, you look at his gameplay, and it's actually just, it looks like the most awesome. And, like, he kind of went Leatherface, looks okay. I think he looks pretty good. I'm like, ugh, I just think it's a wasted
Does
spot.
He like Leatherface?
I don't think so.
Because, like, when I look at Leatherface, I'm just like, I have no interest.
And Leatherface is fine for the movies, but I'm just like, is there a real pull for Leatherface?
Gentlemen, I just want to applaud the excellent stalling tactics that you guys just employed while my internet went down and I brought it back up.
I'm super excited to stream from this location.
We'll be even better stallers streaming live with Periscope from our phones.
Luckily, you don't
It never stops. It never stops.
You don't have to stall when the stream just dies due to lack of internet.
Do we have another question
we do.
To answer?
I told you when you were setting that stuff up, like, get ready for it to just die on you for no reason.
Yeah, I was rolling smoothly into it when Pat stopped me in my fucking tracks.
Like, no. Get ready for failure.
Everyone's stream
That's
dies.
Not your fault, and it's out of your control. The best kind of failure.
Yeah.
We got one coming in from Taylor. Lately, I've been doing a bunch of research because I want to do a comparison video on Third Strike and 4 for when 5 comes out.
Right.
Anyway, in general, I feel 3 feels a whole lot better, and part of the reason for this is that the hits feel really good.
Yep.
Yeah. What are some games where you feel the hits feel really good and stand out?
That's a good question.
For me...
In general?
For me, I must say King of Fighters, specifically the older ones from... The 98 through to 2002 stuff, there's some awesome, like, landing a Galactica Phantom, landing a...
some crunchy hits.
A Ryo's explosive punch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you get the screen shake and the giant hitbox. Like,
do,
that always
do you
feels
mind if
really
I go outside of fighting games on this
yeah,
one?
No.
Because, like, the two that come to mind are God Hand and actually Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course, God Hand.
Like, both of them have the perfect, frame skip and hit stop. On attacks, it's just like, punchy.
I think SNK games in general, especially early Fatal Furies, Art of Fightings and stuff. Like, I remember first playing Fatal Fury 2, and you punch a guy, they go like, and then like they really reel back. It's like for the big, big hits.
I think,
specifically.
I got two. Smash Bros. 64 has fantastic hits.
You're totally right.
Characters bowl around and spin. And it's got a particular feel to it. I think each game's good at something different.
I think Smash 64
But I think Smash 64 has really good hits. Mm-hmm. And the Bushido Blade games.
Okay, that's a solid one, too. I was about to say my second one, and to me this is the best feeling hit in all of video games, is... landing a hard slash in Samurai Showdown.
It's real good.
Yeah.
Specifically with Haomaru and Capcom.
Haomaru, Genjiro, any of those characters, like any, it's all the same for them. But that there's nothing in video games that feels better than landing.
I would say it's not everybody because it's a much more arcadey kind of game, but Akira, Jeffrey, and Wolf have a bunch of
Virtua
moves
Fire in general
that create crush states that the visual like speed and punch sound effect, like Akira's elbow is the shit.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like
I think in general
Wolf's,
though,
really, really Wolf's nice, forward one. Knee the
and
just
his shoulder,
forward and kick
and his shoulder ram
and his shoulder ram and his clothesline are amazing. Clothesline, Jeffrey's yeah. big giant kick.
Yeah. I feel that
Virtua Fighter really has strong.
I think some of it's weak though. Actually,
some of it is.
I feel like that's a problem with Virtua Fighter is that a lot of the other normal hits
feel
like nothing.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's why I want to point
those
out those
characters.
Akira.
Yeah.
The one with the least amount of like fluff is Akira. It's like his jabs are fine, but like his double kicks, his elbow, his back. His back attack.
Everyone's roundhouse. Everyone's spin kick that has like a fucking like plane turbine hit when it hits you. It's because Virtua Fighter's sound is so crunchy and smacky.
It's
when,
so 90s arcade.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, also shoutouts to Street Fighter 4 when you land a level 2 or 3 focus attack.
I was going
to
say that it makes up for almost like
it's
the way
the best
other
feeling
hits
part
don't
of that
work.
Whole game.
In Third Strike, that's all the time. In 4, it's when you land a focus.
In 4, it's when you land it. And like I feel like part of that is because you get a long time to enjoy it.
The crumple.
You know what I mean? Like it's only like about a bit less than 2 seconds. But in game time, that's forever, and it feels good.
Well, yeah, I know you'll agree with this. When you hit, and the musical notes also hit in Wind Waker.
Oh,
and
that feels good
when you do the counter spin. Yeah. Behind, I was also gonna say,
game
since
feel is important.
Played it so much, and then when I played those Wii games drunkenly, and I saw whenever a Wii action game does it incorrectly versus when you do it correctly, is when you do the finishing move in No More Heroes, like after just pressing pressing the A button is fine for the normal hits, and when you want to decapitate someone,
you just do a flick in a direction
slash,
or whatever.
That's when it actually feels good and adds a little tactile.
Yeah.
And like by freezing the time, they get away with the latency that the Wii Remote has because you're just confirming it rather than like trying to simulate a one-to-one
swing.
There's some very specific moves.
Smartly designed.
There's some very specific moves in Tekken that are worth calling out as well.
King's chain grabs.
Asuka's like lariat to the ground.
Oh yeah, no.
Amazing.
Wait, of course the Phoenix Smasher by Paul.
The Phoenix Smasher.
A variety of spinning kicks along the floor.
Yep.
Godfist
Brian
combo.
Brian Fury's forward 2 on a counter hit.
Zhao Yu's backwards mistrust kick that launches you is fucking powerful. Mm-hmm. It's great.
Law's flip kicks in general.
Devil Jin or old classic Jin's back forward 2-1-2, which is the elbow straight.
Mm. Yeah. And Tekken has a cool thing where some hits, like, they crumple you, but you go sliding back before you crumple. Yeah. And it's like just an extra level of like, you know, like when you do Heihachi's double fist palm, it pushes you back
That's
and then
one,
you fall over. It's a really cool effect.
Lots
good question.
Of games.
That is a good question.
Hunting Hawk.
Yeah,
love that.
It's the best air version of that feel.
Okay, we got one coming in from Eric, and he wants to know, hey, Wooly and moderately acquainted chums, when are Matt and Pat going to do a Star Trek cast? And I agree, when are you guys going to do a Star Trek cast?
Probably never. We'll just play a game or two.
We'll just shove that love into garbage Star Trek games.
Why not after the next movie comes out? Spend an extra 40 minutes after the podcast and just chat it up.
Yeah, sure. I'm good with that.
I'd be interested.
And by 40, you mean like 2 hours.
However long Wooly's willing to sit there for.
No, he doesn't.
I don't have to be there
for it.
Leave.
However long you want.
I'm
going to
see that movie, though. So
Yeah, probably.
You know, I meant rather to discuss like the series as a whole and how that movie doesn't work in it.
Well, you know what? I have the recording stuff at my house. We could actually do one, but what would it be?
Mm-hmm.
Would it be an episode by episode review of every single thing in a series?
I think we just pick episodes
we
have something to say about.
We've done spoiler casts before. It's just a segment at the end where talk about the topic.
This series ended in 1993.
It's more fun in its idea form than its actual
execution. Yeah, I totally agree.
Because I don't want to have a Star Trek podcast. I just want, when I rant about Star Trek, I want Wooly and Liam to just die and go away so I don't feel guilty.
We should play that Deep Space Space Nine game that, that I mentioned is a
lot. We should play Star Trek Voyager Elite Force.
Oh, is that the first person
shooter? Yeah, it is. It's the game like Viacom got fucking
sued over. Is the final boss Janeway?
Yeah, it's Janeway. I'm a war criminal. Surprise.
We have a question coming in from
Man, I was talking to Plague, and he's right. Odo is just as bad as Janeway. Odo's the worst.
I hate Odo.
Odo betrays everyone for sex.
Question here from Wooly to Matt. Matt, can I have an icebreaker?
Yes, you may. Do I have one more? Yeah, I think there's like two more. There Thank we go. You. Pat had some
I thought that was the question.
Yeah.
No, the real question.
I was interested.
The real question.
Hey, what's the real question?
It's from Anthony.
It's from the Anthony, the final god.
And he wants to know. Liam, last week, or not last week, but...
2 weeks ago now, I
two
guess.
2 weeks ago, you talked about being sick of Mobage and other gachas specifically. Yeah. I'm developing a strategic RPG Mobage with a friend of mine based on my own experiences with the filth of the gacha. And while we will have to implement the gacha system at some point for monetization, I want to create a game that's enjoyable and not scummy. Do you think that gachas, as a rule, make games worse, or is there a way to balance the dual free-to-play and pay-to-win natures of Mobage?
I genuinely feel like the feel of a gacha, which is much akin to the feel of opening a pack of cards or the like, is deeply satisfying, and it's one of the reasons you see people coming back to these kinds of games so often. It's one of the reasons that there's like a Love Live School Idol Festival thread on NeoGAF that's like hundreds of pages long, is because people keep buying these packs of quote unquote cards because the satisfaction of opening them is what's so good about it.
I was talking to Wooly a few months ago and I said, hey man, I'm really close to buying Marvel Universe cards Series 2 from 1991 because I just wanted it, and we go
just to have
what,
it.
What the fuck are you going to do with that? What are you going to do with that? And I was like, oh, you're totally right. So like, I totally get like opening a pack of cards.
Yeah, and I think a lot of games that use these gacha systems don't have good gameplay, and I think that's a problem. Is that they have a loop that satisfies you for the first two or three goes, but then after a while the gameplay like runs out. Love Live and Puzzle and Dragons are exceedingly good examples of games that have fantastic gameplay that you could and in fact in Puzzle and Dragons case can sell on their own. Those games are downright good and they have the gacha thing on the side. That being said, because of how linked the cards are to the core game, you end up getting to a point in all of these games where you kind of just need more better cards to do anything. Mm-hmm. And like it's an exponential curve, right? And the slower that curve is, the more fun people will have for a long time. But eventually everyone will get to the filth of it. In my opinion, the only solution to this is making the gacha system completely 100% reliant on an in-game earned currency. Mm-hmm. No way to pay for that currency at all, and to monetize the core gameplay. And a good example of this would be, there's a Game Boy Advance game out there called Yu-Gi-Oh! The Sacred Cards. It has in-game, you can go to a card shop, you can get packs of cards with in-game currency.
With
obviously,
it's
a Game Boy Advance game, so there's no DLC. And it has a full campaign.
Yeah.
And you play this full campaign and you go back and you get more cards and it's fun and it's good. Say you were to give away the first hour of the campaign for free and then bill the user for the latter four chunks of 20% at a flat rate, and you come out the other end.
That's actually, like, to a degree what Hearthstone does. Like, Hearthstone has the card packs, but those expansions follow that exact...
To a degree,
where the cards are guaranteed, but the levels are what you're paying for.
I think if anyone ever needs reference for what a good quote unquote like gacha style game is, it is any card based game pre free to play and pre microtransactions. That is to say, stuff like Phantom Dust, stuff like the Yu-Gi-Oh! Game games that have full campaigns, Imagination on the Game Boy Color, to an extent Lost Kingdoms, but not really, Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories. All of these games are fantastic examples of what gacha games could be, and the core problem that you can't tackle unless you're willing to get rid of it is the microtransaction bucks that go along with buying packs of cards.
Mm-hmm. And no matter how much you slow that escalator, you're still riding up to the top of the volcano.
Yeah, and I think the only thing you can do is like make it really cheap to buy cards for money. But if I were to make one, and I have thought about these things before, I would monetize the gameplay rather than monetize the gacha system.
Makes sense.
Because
to me.
I feel as long as it's like a basis of buying fixed amounts of content, mm-hmm. it's not scummy. There's nothing scummy about buying fixed amounts of content.
Yeah.
So that's
You've
my
made
sentiment
a pretty compelling
on
argument, but granted, I don't know anything about gacha stuff, but like that seems compelling to me.
It's the same philosophy behind, instead of making a piecemeal game and a bunch of DLC, just make the game and sell the game.
Yeah.
Instead of making a cheaper initial game and then trying to sell a whole bunch of extra shit afterwards.
Make your game, break the walls down by making it cheaper part by part. Instead of selling, say, a $40 game, you sell, you have the first chunk and then four $10 chunks or something like that. And then have your gacha mechanic in there as a core mechanic that is a reward for players who enjoy the gameplay rather than giving the players a way to skip the gameplay and get to the reward by paying. Which is what kind of creates the slime factor
makes sense to
in
me.
Other ways. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, good luck, because it's hard. And it's like the notion of sacrificing the like freemium nasty bits of like, oh, you can just pay money for more cards. The notion of sacrificing that is like, I could see how that could be scary, but I genuinely think like completely walking away from that is the only way to make it work.
And trust because, your noble gacha in your MOBA game.
Yeah. Make your gameplay good, man. Make your gameplay really good.
I know this is kind of a swerve. I just wanted to ask real quickly before, you know, we move on. But, Willie, did you see that new Street Fighter cover today?
Show me.
Udon Entertainment put out this
Show
Street
me.
Fighter
You're not showing
Alpha
him.
Cover. I just want to set it up. It's supposed to be modeled after the Age of Apocalypse line of Street
Show
Fighter.
The goddamn-
Show me.
A new era.
Speak into the
a
mic.
A new generation.
Matt reaches away from the mic to speak.
This is Udon?
Yeah. I move away from the mic to breathe only.
Art's not very good.
No, but it's going
I
for
saw it
the
earlier, yeah.
Marvel 90s X-Men. Like, it's supposed to be a mock
it's
cover.
It's like a comic
edition.
Book cover, like a two-page
X-Men
spread one.
Parody.
And it looks
yeah,
like...
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I see the bad cover?
I know the cover they're parodying, actually. Yeah. I get it.
You understood that reference, didn't you?
I got
yeah,
that.
No thanks.
I
did it.
No
thanks.
I got that reference.
It's just the cover. The comic's not bad.
No, that much. After all the money I spent on it, you better believe I believe in that.
Believe yeah, it. Well, your headband's showing.
How many times did you buy it?
Probably four over in total. Hardcover.
I'm like maybe two and a half.
Individuals.
I have individuals.
First trade.
Yeah, yeah.
Multiple. No, five. Because I bought both covers. I bought the variant covers as well.
Good. That's what real fans should do.
That's what the real fans should do.
Last question coming in from Jubai. And Jubai straight up wants to know, and we talked about this in the playthrough, actually.
I'll tell them straight up.
Since the FF 10 playthrough is going on, and Liam mentioned 12 on the podcast, or 13 on the podcast, and on the podcast not too long ago, I noticed something. Everyone shits on 13.
It's true.
For
it's bad.
Being linear. When 10 is almost just as linear.
Yeah. Yep.
It's never occurred to me before.
Yep. That's completely accurate.
Why does...
Didn't occur to a lot of people.
Why does 13
13
take the brunt of the shit?
Because 13 doesn't let you play with most of the gameplay sequences until like halfway through the game. And because 10 has interesting characters compared to 13.
One other aspect of it, too, that I think is important is... the sphere grid, okay? The sphere grid, stealth...
They're very similar in both.
The sphere grid is extremely limited for a long time. It doesn't look like it, but
it's
at the beginning, you're extremely, extremely limited.
It's a big circle to trick you into thinking it's not a straight line.
Someone made a graphic or showed us a graphic of it straightened out, and it's a line.
No, exactly. The crystallium in FF13 is even more straight, and it feels restricted even more, I find. That's a subjective opinion, but I feel like it's even more restricted.
No, I don't think that's a subjective opinion at all. It is more restricted.
You think that way too? Okay, yeah.
No,
there's definitely a lot less to it as well.
There's less there, and there's less that you get out of using it.
Yeah.
I would like to think one of the main reasons that FF10 was like their first gigantic, fully 3D, voice acted, a lot of sweeping changes in terms of presentation, whereas by 13, they should have a fucking handle on that.
Yeah, no, it makes sense that 10's that way, for sure.
There's also aspects of the linearity that FF10 mitigates significantly. The 13, for some reason, doesn't.
Yeah.
In 10, you can go backwards and forwards on that path at a certain point.
Yeah. A decent distance.
Not yet.
No, you can run backwards if you want.
Oh, when you're on the map.
We're not there yet.
No, you can run backwards
towards
the screen.
You can turn around.
It just means in a map when you're there.
And physically walk to the screen that you left.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you wanted to, you could go pretty far back until you hit like a
breakpoint.
Every
time you hit a map...
Yeah, but you could go pretty far.
No, sorry. I'm not mean map as in a treasure map, like when we're making progress.
The Indiana Jones the fucking level. Map
no.
where the boat goes from one place to another.
No, we know. That,
you can't
right.
go backwards.
No. Never mind.
He's not listening at all.
What he's saying
you're
is...
I know, you're just saying the map in terms of gameplay. You're on the map right now.
Yes, yeah. No, I know.
Yeah.
Just because in FF13, about 40% of the map you can never return to.
And...
You visit it once.
Most of the time, once you walk forward through a screen, you can't return to the screen you were just at.
Yeah, until you get to, like, very far in the game.
The story is that you're running.
Yeah.
The other thing is that there are no... Like, okay, you got to Bevel for the Blitzball tournament, right?
Yes.
There's not a whole lot of areas in Bevel, and it's quite limited.
Yeah.
But you can walk back and forward between a couple, right?
Yeah.
You can't in 13. The only town you ever interact with is one that you run straight down through. Like, there isn't even...
You don't even get on the main street or
anything
like that.
There isn't even an illusion of a town in 13.
Yeah.
There isn't even, like, a fucking... promise.
So you're saying is that it's an endless runner.
It's way more linear. The characters aren't nearly as interesting. When you stop in 10 and it's linear, what happens? You hang out with Waka and Riku and Oren, and even if some of those
characters
are
weird, talking about secrets and lies.
Kimari's cool.
You have a bunch of cool, funny adventures around a campfire. When does that happen with the fucking Final Fantasy 13 crew?
It doesn't.
Never.
It's unfortunate. It's FF13 is so half in the bag.
Like
you could take all the environments in that game and all the core concepts, and you could make a really, really good game.
Yeah.
But the direction for it just kind of falls apart.
The basic like sum it up is like the reason why it gets more shit is because it's actually way more linear. Yeah. And it's also not as good.
That
linearity is harder to accept.
Yeah.
That said, anyone who ever says 10 isn't linear is foolish.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
It's super linear. Yeah.
All I know is I want to go get a Louis Vuitton bag.
And the last...
She was perfect for those modeling things, but that interview was one of the few things that I felt embarrassed to read.
I would have preferred Lulu.
There is one last thing that I will mention about the change between FF10 and 13 in terms of linearity. Is the justification for why it's linear.
Yeah.
In 13, the justification is you're running away.
Yeah.
That's not a really good one, because in 7, you were running away. In 8, you were running
away. It doesn't feel good, because you're running away down a path you don't dictate.
Yes.
Or you don't get the illusion of dictating it either. You just run along that path.
In 10, it's a pilgrimage.
It's a specific road. It's a pilgrimage that you're supposed to follow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that lets them put stuff on that road for you.
And like you mentioned with 7, you're running away, but you have the illusion of choosing where you run. You know what I mean?
Even though you don't.
But the illusion's present, because the road is wider than a straight.
Yeah.
And FF13, it's ridiculously straight.
7 and 8 are both like that, where it's a straight line, but everything is placed in not a line.
Yeah.
So
and not, you, 9
and you
as
can
well.
Explore
like,
around the line.
Yeah. You can exactly. I don't know about 9.
It goes in with it. Yeah.
They have the same formula.
Okay.
13's not as good of a game as 10, and why it gets more shit.
Like, 13's kind of, like, real... Well, at the time, it was thrilling to play through it, because it was gorgeous. Like, there was nothing else...
Right up until a point.
...like that. Yeah.
And then that point was different for everybody.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you managed to make it to the open world, you got the good ending.
I
can't even blame you, because it's 30 hours in or something.
He mentions at the end here that, like, he knows that the characters are more likable in 10, but it seems like the linearity seems to be the main thing that's always brought up.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's because people say hallway simulator.
The reason they call it a hallway simulator is because there's nothing on the size of those hallways.
Right.
And you can see... Like, when you enter into a map and they do that flyby, you can see that it's just a hallway.
In 13, the only characters that I actively, the only character I actively disliked was fucking what's his face, the kid, the Hope. I actively disliked.
I think everyone's tolerance is different, but Hope is universally realized as the worst.
Yeah, I actively disliked him, and I was kind of like cool on Lightning because she was just she didn't really do much of anything.
She was fine in her own game.
Yeah, her design was incredible. Her design's amazing. I'll fight you on that.
I don't think it's bad,
but like she just didn't really do much. Saz was fantastic.
Saz is great. Fang, he's the only legitimately great character in that game.
Fang and Vanille are solid, and they make good foils to each other.
Snow's
and Snow's all right.
Okay,
he's all right. He's all right, especially in the context of like his resistance.
He's
story
a poor
thing,
man's Cypher. He's a poor man's Zell. He's a poor man's pick any character.
Yeah,
like yeah.
No, it's a bummer.
And even if Lightning would be cool on her own, you can't look at her and go, "That's a poor man's Cloud."
No.
Because she really. Is.
Somewhat, yeah.
She literally is.
If they had the same backstory, she would have the same dialogue.
Yep.
Like, that's basically it, you know?
But with less emotion.
Yeah. No, maybe. She makes a good model.
Lightning is what some people thought Cloud was.
Yeah, but he's not.
She's the compilation Cloud, not real Cloud.
The compilation of Final Fantasy Cloud.
There's a fucking line in that interview in which she describes... Be coming back in a world of strife.
Yeah.
Which implies that she will be some kind of costume or some shit in FF7 remake.
Sure.
Which would be hilarious and be complete the full circle.
Be great.
Birth by Cloud.
Dude, if one of the costumes Cloud could put on was a Lightning costume from FF13, that'd be sick.
Yeah. Cloud over 352 days.
There it is. Yeah. There it is.
Dude, if he dresses as Lightning during the...
That I've been saying that since day one. He should dress up as Lightning.
I hadn't even thought of that
for the cross-dressing sequence.
Yeah, good call. That'd be.
He should dye his hair pink and dress up in her costume.
That would be so good. That would be really good. I would like that.
And then everything is forgiven.
Yeah.
Everything is forgiven.
I would really like that.
Three games worth is forgiven.
Yeah, it's all forgiven.
There's not so much wrong with the latter two.
If you're willing,
is forgotten.
If you're willing to take the piss on that level, I will forgive and forget because I have to forget it all. It has to be forgotten.
Everyone, fucking write it down.
Yeah,
raise your daughters.
Oh, I won't. I won't stop making fun of it, but I will forgive it.
Well, that's not forgiving it, is it?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what you think forgiving is.
Not making
letting
fun
it go.
Of it.
No,
it
forgiving
go.
Is not being mad about it anymore.
But forgetting is
like,
not
Wooly, if you
forgiving. Okay,
fun.
Okay. If you but you said forgiving and forgetting.
Yeah.
The two of those encompass also.
That's everything.
I don't think I would ever be able to forget.
Well, then you shouldn't have said that. Like I would have let you rock on just saying forgive, but you doubled it up.
Forgive and forget really is the end all alpha and omega.
How can you ever forget?
Forgive and forget.
The expression means that you're completely cool on it.
How could you ever forget the goddess of Final Fantasy? Barf.
Like that's like I've washed my hands of the affair, but I will continue to make fun of it. Like what do you know? It doesn't work that way. What are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to trying out Blade and Soul. Cranky got in using the Founders Pack stuff, and he's been raving about how good it is.
Maybe I will try that too.
Blade and Soul, if you're not familiar, is the kung fu game with gigantic asses.
It's the MMO where people react to getting hit.
Yeah. And I looked it up not an insignificant amount. It is, the PvP in that game is a fighting game.
Yeah.
Like, it is a for-real-z fighting
game. It's Bid for Power-esque.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, but it's a free-to-play Korean MMO. So, I don't know.
And there's news coming in today that, like, people were locking down names
them. So, what happened?
Oh, nice.
What happened is that the founder, so the game is a free-to-play Korean MMO, but... If you wanted to buy special perks, it was called a Founders Pack, and one of those perks for the $70 and $120 one is that you can log in early, like before even the early start.
Not to play.
But to create a character
so
that name is yours.
Mine.
And
so you don't have to race as much.
A GM for the Western version of the game got caught making like a dozen Kirito variants. so that he, like, it's Kirito, Kirito 7, Kirito rules.
Oh, but the idea that it's a GM for the game, that's disgusting.
It's super nuts.
So, I thought it was just going to be some random
guy. No, it's a GM!
Someone at the developer came out and said that they specifically got a bunch of these names because they didn't want people selling them. So they said that they took them there themselves.
Yeah,
they better.
So like, I don't know.
I prefer the idea the GMs are stealing names to be cool, or, and here's the really dark version, and I don't. It's likely not the case, but that GM is like, there ain't gonna be no Kiritos in my game.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, there's that too.
I always had this.
But the example they gave is like the name Naruto. People would spend a lot of money for trying to buy that name off.
Yeah, but then they'll just have Naruto's. Or Naruto's
with a zero
or null.
Yeah, null.
I always on naming in MMOs. You know how like fantasy races have just like in English, well, in various languages that exist in real life, there's different particularities to how names are formed in different countries and such. I always found it bothersome that like you didn't get a game where you wanted to play as an elf and you entered your name and then you got like an error thing that said please put three more apostrophes in your name or like you get the name entry thing and you have three name entry boxes or like you need more umlauts or something
the closest thing to something like that is the game where you don't choose what race or gender you get.
Yeah,
I forgot what game that was. Rust?
That was Rust.
And it's determined by your Steam ID
and everybody
also your
hated
penis
it.
Size
your penis size and your gender
everyone lost their shit.
And 14 did it. Hilarious. And that
people don't like being forced to be black.
People don't like being forced to be things. People don't like the roll of the dice.
Shocker.
That's not why they play video games.
In 14, they have naming conventions for the different races that they show off. And they put like 100 variants to show you how you're supposed to construct the name. But everybody makes Buttface McSephiroth.
Buttface McSephiroth.
That's right. I'm looking forward to Blade and Soul playing way more Dragon's Dogma. I'm going to get way in there. And still chipping away at Yakuza 5. That's it for me. What about you, Matt?
I'm going to continue, hopefully, playing Rise of the Tomb Raider because I want to do that.
That ending. It's good.
I want to do that when I get home.
I'm itching to play Dogma right now.
Rarely. There's that, and I'm looking forward to Boy and His Blob getting re-released.
Yeah, it is. This week.
Because I just want to see if they made any little nips or tucks. Because that game didn't there was a few little levels and design quirks. I was like, I wish they'd changed
that. Are you also excited for a certain...
I am not excited for
Genesis.
That. Hey, why don't you tell? Did you tell Wooly about that? Tell Wooly about that because he had to
five star head. Wrestling Regenesis.
Oh,
get in.
Oh, we in.
You know you
we
want
in
it. More moves per wrestler than
hit
any
record.
Other.
That won't help.
Featuring a 40-hour campaign.
Hit record
that won't
right
help.
Now.
That's so bad. I've never
it
seen anything that will not
be. It has heel and face mechanics, revolutionary limb damage system.
WrestleMania this year is
rivalry.
Just this game. All 31 days.
Dang.
The fate worse than death. I'll try to read through those comics I mentioned earlier in the week. I'll try to get all those read and done.
What about you, Wooly? What are you looking forward to this week?
Liam, take it.
Oh, fuck.
There's an ass ton of games coming out this week. So, like, there's A Boy and His Blob.
Over 40 pounds.
Yeah, over 40 pounds of games and ass. A Boy and His Blob.
Save that for Blade and Soul.
Attractio, Crawlers, Sigma, The Deadly Tower of Monsters.
Like, oh, yeah, that.
Oddworld, New and Tasty. Like this,
again,
the Vita version. Sorry.
Okay,
this week is like bizarrely, and I'm like skipping a lot.
Yeah.
This week is bizarrely stacked.
I see you scrolling. See you scrolling.
But lots of good stuff. Yeah.
Hey, Wooly,
do you have a thing?
I don't know. No, not really. I'll just let the winds take me where they do.
You know where the wind should take you? The wind should start pushing you into free.
Yeah,
Dragon's Dogma. You get it?
I mean, look, like you know, when I have some free time, I'll see what I do.
If you do decide to get into that, let me know, and I will give you a like systems breakdown on how shit actually works in that game.
In terms of the channel,
nothing. I think this week.
There's one thing.
Oh, there's videos.
Yeah, there's videos.
Oh shit.
Well, I mean,
I would call it my pants down.
We completed our mission. Metal Slug 1 has hit.
Yes, it has.
Last night, I believe.
That's just going to continue,
night,
I guess.
That's so we're going to, hey, man, until the mission is all over.
Yep.
We keep going.
So yeah, there's
not at a regular pace, mind you.
I called Fio in the next one. Shotgun.
Okay, whatever.
Shotgun.
I call Nadia in the fourth one.
That's fine.
So Metal Slug with you guys. The president, we'll see what happens with him. Richard Hawk.
I think so. I think we'll see that.
We'll see the ending of that this week.
I think so. You and I took a hilarious look at the apology game Vendetta Curse of Raven's
Cry. Oh, that's finally going up.
That's the Sunday, I believe.
For I think over a year, Matt's been talking about how he wants to record Raven's Cry, the PS3 one, right?
That never got released.
It actually never get released.
It only ever came out on PC.
That's the apology.
Okay. So for like over a year, Matt's been like legitimately keen on making this video.
Yeah.
And now he has Game of the Year edition to work with.
Oh, it was worth it.
It was a good time.
We also got a new LP starting up.
Is that this?
Yep.
Thursday.
That's on Thursday.
Yes, awesome. This Thursday, and it's Resident Evil Zero.
The game where for the last like year I'll be like, hey, want to play Resident Evil Zero like in a video, and Pat would go no, and now we're doing it.
Hey, you know what, I like that game more than I thought I did.
I believe that game's out tomorrow as well, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Rebecca
yes.
Chambers' baby face always weirds me
they changed it
a little bit.
Did they?
Yeah,
because she looks like a fucking toddler.
She
man.
Looks even more like a toddler with more makeup on.
No, I think she looks better.
It's weird.
She looks like a Japanese
pop idol.
Did it freak you out because of the imperfections because of the technology?
No, it just, her proportions didn't look like the other, like Claire and
because her face looks more like a real person face now.
Okay.
Because the old one had some weirdness, like Snake's, like, edge of his mouth and cheeks in MGS2.
Oh, God, yeah.
I know what you mean. Plus, Billy looks way different in all that makeup.
But it's kind of like the old Cammy Street Fighter V face versus the alt costume face, where they're like, we want it more anime.
Did you see Rebecca's new Wesker costume?
Looks great.
What?
There's an alt like mode Jill. In that game where you play as Wesker, and you know how Jill was in 5?
Yeah.
But it's Rebecca in a slightly altered
Shadow
costume.
Rebecca.
You play as those two instead.
Is she blonde?
No, she's not.
No, she's got red eyes, though.
Okay.
And Wesker has melee attacks and his dash and stuff.
Omoshiroi.
He has his dash in what is possibly the most claustrophobic, small game that the series ever had.
It's already really tricky to capitalize on his dash
in
RE5.
Avoid those walls, Wesker.
I'm tired of this motherfucking Wesker on this motherfucking train. I guess we'll take the opportunity now for announcing stuff. A little video went out a few days ago. But, you know, formally saying it here as well for the podcast fans that we will be at MAGFest in February from the 19th to the 21st. Mm-hmm. Going to be a big, big year this year. Biggest year ever. Getting the drunk the most, I think. Right?
That's plans. Plans.
No.
Hey, bartender, I'll have a Long Island iced tea. Make it a triple.
Make it a triple.
Boom, boom.
Sir, I don't have that much alcohol. Yeah, you do. Anyway, we're going to have our regular panel on the Friday.
Uh-huh.
A secondary Sonic-based panel on Saturday. That's all we know right now.
Best.
Who knows where the winds will take us in Maryland.
Funnest time of the year, man.
Funnest time of the year.
Speaking of, I should mention that I am not going.
Okay. Yes.
We've got the return this Friday
of
Salty Bet.
Oh, shit.
Ooh.
I'm glad you're bringing that up.
So Salty Bet 2, this Fisticuffs.
We just so happened to be online when there was a tournament going on.
That was the weirdest luck ever.
So it is different from the last one, but we still had a good time.
And
Spa Man.
DJ Ka. That's where it's at.
Wasn't it DB Kaw?
DB Kaw.
DB Kaw, you're right.
DB Kaw.
I like DJ Kaw.
I got exposed just there.
Yeah, but
he didn't.
Or did he?
Find out.
Some people might know, actually, if they watched it.
Maybe. Yeah. pretend you don't, please.
And lastly, like as we opened up the podcast on it, we kind of glossed over it, but we're streaming. It's happening. Last day of this month.
Well,
January
31st. It's like the 18th, 19th right? So there'll be another podcast to tell people.
If you somehow forget about this, don't worry. We'll probably talk about it next week.
Yep.
Probably put up a video.
This is your early advance.
If you're not listening right now,
Twitch TV, Super Best Friends Play.
Exactly.
We're playing some Demon Souls.
Demons?
You mean Deaths, right?
Deaths. Yeah. We're starting out
Deaths. Saving no time.
Officially.
It's so annoying.
No, you know why you're saving time?
It's because you're typing it out.
No, the reason why you're saving time is because the game's title is not Demon Souls. The game's title is Demon's Souls.
So you have
to
space it.
Wants to say that shit.
I guess.
So they say Deaths.
Souls.
I still don't get it.
I've literally never heard anyone in the world
say it properly on the first try.
Say Deaths. With the exception of you two and Matt.
I've never heard it.
I've
never
in verbally.
Verbally.
Oh,
yeah.
Verbally.
It's because you never talk to people.
No,
about
exactly.
Demon's Souls.
Written many times.
It's this unwritten thing people are not allowed to talk about.
No one talks about it in person. Everyone just gets
written
at it on
all
the
over the place. Yeah. I've written it before.
And it has to be written capital D underscore E capital S. Yeah.
Back in the day when it first came out, everyone just said Demon's Souls.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, everyone said Demon's Souls.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's actually demons.
It was demon the style at the time.
Yeah. Oh, fuck this shit. All right, we're done. This podcast is probably the longest ever.
They couldn't say Demon Souls because of the war.
It's not, but we just did.
I can't figure out the time.
Yeah,
we hit 4 hours.
Okay, but
4,000 hours?
Shit, damn.
I was looking at it, and I was like, is this five now? I can't remember the original time and the math.
What? Pat says like 2 hours and 40 minutes in.
I have the power to end it whenever I want.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody, play Dragon's Dogma. It's good.
There you go.
It's a good game. The Yakuza 5 is a better game. You should play it. It needs your support.
This was a triumph. I'm making a note here. Huge success. It's hard to overstate my satisfaction. Aperture Science. We do what we must because we can. For the good of all of us, except the ones who are dead. But there's no sense crying over every mistake. You just keep on trying till you run out of cake, and the science gets done, and you make a neat gun for the people who are still alive. I'm not even angry. I'm being so sincere right now. To pieces and threw every piece into a fire. As they burned, it hurt because I was so happy for you. Now these points of data make a beautiful line, and we're out of. Look at me, still talking when there's science to do. When I look out there, it makes me glad I'm not you. I've experimented.